theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast.
They be slow.
Cool.
But this is what I sound like when I speaky.
When I talky.
And when you're talking.
With the speaky.
This is me when I talky with my voice.
All right. We're recording.
Oh, hey.
All right.
All right. Welcome to the Mount Geekmore podcast, your favorite podcast, where we come up with, discuss your favorite top four Mount Rushmore, if you will, of your favorite pop culture subjects. This week's pop culture subject. In celebration of the Rogue One movie coming out, we will be talking and discussing the Mount Rushmore of our
Star Trek films.
Of our favorite Star Wars characters.
I am so excited about the Star Trek one.
Not named Skywalker or married into Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Movies only.
Mm.
I have to say movies only because apparently everybody goes, blah, what about blah, 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 blah from the books? And I'm like, what are books? I am Nary Science.
She's trying to figure out what books are.
I am Nary Science. With me, as always, is Jeffrey.
Hello.
And we got Dave.
Howdy.
And we have a guest tonight. We have Jason.
Hello.
For those of you who don't know, who have only listened to the last 8 episodes, Jason is Jason was part of Geekmore before he went to law school and tried to get an education. And apparently school is out.
I can't read.
It is.
School is out.
School's out for Christmas.
All right. Well, you're going to have to talk into the mic because that mic stand is really low. And
you want to switch mic stands because you're giant.
No, I'll just bring it back here.
Okay. Old school. Take it
and now, bring it back now, y'all.
Bring it back now, y'all.
I'll talk with some bass in my voice.
One mic this time.
See if everybody likes the way I sound.
Can you go
now
down low? So thank you for checking us out.
Trying to be smooth.
Let's go to the... Let's start off with the geek news.
Geek news.
Geek news.
This is geek news, baby.
Well, there's some video game news that came out. I don't know if you want me to mention
Is there video
that.
Game news? What
yeah,
is there?
They just officially announced Marvel versus Capcom Infinite.
Yes.
Yes.
Marvel, which the trailer looks sick as hell.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That trailer had Mega Man v. Iron Man.
What? It was Mega Man and Ryu
going
versus
Blaster to Blaster.
Yeah.
Versus and Iron Man and Captain Marvel.
And Captain Marvel.
And yeah. I'm pretty sure Jason and I are sitting across the table. We're going boner to boner right now.
Mm. Oh.
Blaster to Blaster.
You might be on that side of the
table. One of us is a little further across the table than the other.
Jason's looking at air right now. He hasn't reached the table yet.
Hey.
Small penis joke. They also, which I'm super,
baby,
super, 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 super excited for.
Deadpool's in it?
No.
Oh.
Another thing. Last of Us. Deadpool's probably going to be in it, though, which is amazing. Last of Us 2.
Yes. Oh,
Last of Us?
The Last of Us 2.
Deadpool's going to be in Last of Us?
No.
I was like, what the
fuck? This is a totally different game.
Holy shit. He's coming through the mediums. He's doing what he does.
That'd be amazing.
Poor transition there, but.
Poor transition. No. Marvel's Capcom Infinite, they haven't really announced anybody yet for it. Besides those four that are in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming it's going to be...
Who else is in the trailer? It's Mega Man, Iron Man. Who else?
Ryu. Because it's Mega Man and Ryu versus Iron Man and Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel.
Yes.
I look like her, yeah.
She was blonde.
Well, it was a she. That's
she had hair.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She had boobs.
Yeah, it was a Shazam.
No,
that's a very indie. That's a very inside baseball joke. If you didn't know that, Shazam used to be called Captain Marvel, that joke went by the wayside.
Well, Shazam's also DC.
Doesn't matter.
Originally Fawcett Comics.
Oh,
but I believe it's Adam Warlock was the original Captain Marvel, and then she took on the title. She was Miss Marvel. And that's your comic minute.
That's what I'm thinking.
She went from Mr. Captain, excuse me. No lieutenant, no sergeant, no nothing, huh?
Excuse you.
Lieutenant, wouldn't it be great? Sergeant Marvel.
Woo!
Woo!
All right,
Rad Space Mountain.
What else?
Second Lieutenant Marvel.
Speaking of Westworld,
yeah, nice segue.
Don't give away this.
I'm not going to give anything away. But
I literally, what's that?
Polygon?
No, what are you
drawing? Neri's moving his finger around, drawing shapes.
Yeah, there you go.
I literally binged from episode 2 to episode 9 yesterday. So I watched 7 episodes. I'm sorry, 8 episodes in one day. And the only reason I didn't watch episode 9 is because it wasn't out yet when I had binged it. So
gotcha. From this point that we're recording, the finale was last night.
Right.
The finale was incredible. It's an hour and a half long. But it didn't feel like an hour and a half long finale. Like sometimes something drags, you know, and it didn't feel like that at all. I'm not going to
have some audio of it. Let's go. Ass and titties. Ass and titties. Ass and titties. Ass titties. Ass and titties. That's the audio version of the Westworld finale.
How many? You almost said West Wing.
Oh, yeah. I almost said.
Yeah. Hey, so who did Negan kill in the episode?
Wait, what?
Hold on a second.
Well, I mean, yeah, Jeff, you've only seen the first episode.
Yeah, because my internet crapped out, so I can't.
So I'm not gonna go into the intimacies of the show. But this has been my favorite.
Intimacy.
This has been my favorite TV show in a long time. And
you haven't seen Fargo.
No, I haven't seen Fargo. No, I do need to see Fargo.
I've heard Fargo's phenomenal.
I have yet to find a show in the last after Breaking Bad.
Okay, I was gonna say,
but it doesn't stream anywhere.
That's how good the show is. They're like, you're gonna buy this shit, and you should. And,
yeah.
you should. And I'm like, that show is phenomenal. Yeah. That like show, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it streams on the FX app.
See, it doesn't. When the first season was over, I had intended to watch it, and I went on. FX didn't have it.
Yeah,
weird as fuck.
Weird, but I think it's a phenomenal. I mean, that to me, I would honestly say that's the one show. After Breaking Bad, that I would say from the very first episode, and you gotta wait to the end of the first episode, but from the very first episode, I was like, I haven't had that, like, oh my God,
right?
Looking around moment, like, do you anybody else see this? Oh no, I'm by myself in a fucking cabin. Okay, but do anybody else see this? Excuse me, cabin steward, can you fucking come with me? I want to talk about this right now.
I'm all in on that show. I just haven't gotten around to seeing it because I love the movie so much.
Please, woman from Nepal, come here and look into this. I'll translate for you.
I don't understand, Mr. Needy. I don't understand this.
So you want me to?
You want towels?
More pillow?
Pillow? Pillow?
Peanuts? Peanuts?
No, thank you. I brought my own.
Well, anyway, the show's...
Peanuts.
Westworld's been renewed. It's not coming back till 2018. Jonathan Nolan says that they're taking their time with it. They want to get the story right. They want to get everything right.
Translation: we had no idea we'd get picked up again.
You know, I'm fairly certain that's exactly what the fuck happened.
Because you know, Game of Thrones.
I will say this about the finale: it does leave it open for a season 2.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the writers aren't going to lock themselves in.
And everybody dies.
The whole world blows up.
What? Season 2 of Westworld's Asia Town.
That was a dream sequence.
So
actually,
I have the HBO app.
What was this one that you and I really like?
Boardwalk.
No, that one was on for a little while though. I saw the first 2, I think. And not because I
of Boardwalk.
You know, yeah, I just didn't get around to finishing.
Not enough fedora.
My ass.
Yeah, never enough. Never enough fedora.
My ass.
It's all fedora.
If there's any show that has fedora,
it's that show.
It was called, actually, the original name was Fedora Empire. We should probably change it.
We're kind of writing ourselves into a very niche group here.
There's one guy in Miami that is already subscribed.
He's in.
Well, one show that I'm pretty sure you never saw that I loved was Masters of Horror, but they only did one season of it. It was famous directors did hour long.
Are you confusing Masters of? Isn't it Masters of the Universe? I saw that one. I saw that one.
I saw the one that was Masters of Sex.
There's Masters of Sex. No, but it's Masters
of Horror.
It had
sex in the title, so I was all in.
And it's so they had like one with what's this guy's name who played Norm in Cheers.
George Wendt. There you go.
He was like a neighbor, like the nice neighbor, but his like he had some deep dark secret. I forgot who it was.
It was like an anthology series, and each one was directed by a different horror film director.
That's awesome. Yeah. It was really cool. Like they have
what were the directors involved?
I'm pretty sure Clive Barker was involved.
Oh, God, I love Clive Barker.
I'm trying to remember.
Isn't he the drummer of Blink 182?
Yes, he is.
Travis Barker.
Oh, that's his brother.
But
you know, Raul's listening right now, going for real.
Yeah, it must be true.
I've been talking about that drummer forever.
Hey guys, not to be controversial, but that's his brother. That's not really controversial, Raul. Yeah, well,
Masters of Horrors had Stuart Gordon, Dario Argento.
Man, he's brilliant.
John Carpenter, Joe Dante, awesome. Mick Garvis, Hopper,
John Landis,
Toby Hooper. Yeah,
John Landis. He did two episodes. Zero kids killed though.
Wow.
Yeah, threw off his numbers.
Yeah.
They did do two seasons.
Dan Coruscali,
Tom Holland.
Starting to sound like Three Amigos.
Rob Schmidt. Norio Tussarada.
Yeah, Jonathan.
He sounds Asian. That sounds scary.
Jonathan Landis directed the one I was talking about. It's called Family.
Isn't that the guy from Sidekicks? Jonathan Brandis.
The one that hung himself.
Yes. He did Sequest. Not direct anything lately.
No. No.
He's been slacking on the director's chair.
Good? I never saw Sequest.
Sequest? Yeah, man. Kid Eyes. I love Sequest.
Roy Scheider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Landis had a Marlins World Series championship jersey.
Oh, no shit.
That it was supposed to be, I think, for 20... You might remember this. It was like 2013. The Sequest Marlins World Series jersey that Jonathan Landis wore.
It would have to be 2013. That's
no, but I don't think
the
he
last
actually,
time they.
No, but
it, yeah, I don't it, think it was real. I think it, was,
yeah, like it was around.
I think it was like they.
Yeah, I never saw Sequest.
Oh, okay.
I started watching Timeless.
I only watch
which one?
Timeless
good
is awesome.
Good show.
Psychic. Which one's
that's
Timeless?
That's the one that they time travel because a guy's trying to change past events in history.
Oh yeah,
the first episode is
the Hindenburg. Definitely.
The Hindenburg, and the second episode is the assassination of
JFK.
No.
No.
Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very cool. Very. You would love it.
What network is it on?
I think it's on my computer.
I think it's NBC.
It's Dell.
NBC? Okay. I got to check that.
PC?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's really. I've only watched two episodes, but it was like really good.
Hey, so.
All right, so.
The Mummy trailer?
Oh,
so we talk
good.
About the Mummy trailer?
So good.
It was really good.
So yeah, good. Tom Cruise starring in it.
Bro.
The Mummy.
I had in a scale between 1 to 10, I had maybe a 4 of an interest in this movie. And before the trailer, then I saw the they had a what's that small trailer?
A teaser.
They had a teaser come out. Watch that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Then I saw the making of that comicbook.com release. It was like a short 2.5 minute making of. And I was like, I'm fucking in. This is amazing. And then I saw the full trailer. No, yeah. Of course, I'm already
sold. The full trailer was incredible.
Interesting premise that he's a Scientologist now, the Mummy.
Right.
It's great. It's cool.
They had Enchantress.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Enchantress is the main, nice. The main.
I just want her to learn to dance. You know? Do it well, and I'll buy it.
She's white, man. There's got to be some, you know, some suspension of disbelief.
Listen, I was the one that said no. It looked right. She looks like a possessed person.
Yeah, with the four eyeballs. But yeah. It looked cool. It looked very cool.
Yeah, I love Sophia Boutella in the role. In she
Star
looks
Trek,
awesome
yeah, from Star Trek. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Star Trek Beyond. Yeah, Enchantress sure, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What? Any? You got any news there?
The only news I had was that the grandmother from Happy Gilmore?
No.
No, no, not Happy Gilmore.
Oh, no,
the librarian.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah, the librarian right. From Ghostbusters.
Ace Ventura, Ray Finkel's mom passed mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
She was 86, and she passed away. And I, from everything from Ghostbusters, the librarian from Ghostbusters, to the laces, it's all that damn Marino's fault.
Dan Marino can die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Yeah,
that to me.
My favorite is when she brings the cookies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Laces out.
And then this is it's about her, but not with her, is when her husband in the movie goes, the motor's running, but there's no one behind. I just love. I remember watching that as a kid, going, the motor's running, but there's no one behind the wheel. Holy fuck! I would say that often for years. It became this. Oh, it's the computer, man.
Oh, I'm like, what the hell's beeping?
Do you need me to?
What's dinging?
No, I was just wondering if I was going crazy. There was a dinging going on.
Like, I wish I wouldn't have said anything. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, I don't know. So anyway, she passed away. That was I had the trailer news and that, and then the classic NES continues to be selling out because Nintendo is fucking assholes
and made only like 7 for the entire country.
In the entire country. So thank you for you assholes. And then people have bought multiple and they start selling them, which for is their fucking God given right. But fuck you. I mean, I have very conflicting feelings about that. I'm like, oh, fucking A, man. Make
because,
your money.
Because
I'm
if not you mad had at it, you. Yeah, oh, if you had it, you would have done
it. No.
Yeah.
If I had my own that I already bought for that I use and play with, I wouldn't give a fuck about these guys selling it for $400, $500, $700.
Well, I told Francesco the other day, I was like, if I find it, I'm going to buy like 6 of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And nice. Then give Neri one.
Yeah, I give you guys one, and then I'd sell the other 2.
Yeah. Nice. You know what's fucked up? I have,
not Raul. You notice how
there is a womp, there is womp. A friend of ours that had one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And then said, "Hey," like 2 weeks later, goes, "Hey, we're gonna not." He doesn't want to use this. I'm not gonna give the exact details because it'll be obvious who I'm talking about. Asked my wife, "Does Neri want it?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah." And I was like, "Oh, great! How much are they? How much do they want?" And then, you know, I'm saying how much, thinking they're gonna say no, $60. Yeah, just like
maybe seventy,
whatever. You know, I would have bought 100. I would have gone whatever. You
That's
know,
what I was about to say. 100.
And I was like, I didn't think that. Honestly, I asked, "Oh, how much?" Thinking that they were gonna say like, "No, it's $60. It's that's how much I bought it for,
right.
Or 70, whatever." And the answer was,
"Your son,
we're taking bids." And I was like,
but they contacted you.
Yes, that's my fucking issue with it. They contacted us. It was like, no, what the?
This is your announcement had been made on Facebook.
Yeah, you're a quote unquote friend. You're a friend, and you're contacting us because you know. Because I've been posting it all the time about how much I want one, and every time I call a store and they fuck me over, and I post, you know, several stories about me quote unquote almost getting one or not getting one at all, and people. So when they see that, oh, they was interested, then they make a phone call to me, contact my people, and then they go, "We're taking bids." Oh, fuck you.
Thank you, friend. Yeah, can you cash the 2 middle fingers I'm giving you right now?
Do you know what was put on Facebook?
What?
When someone said, "Oh, how much do you want?" Right? The response was, "We're taking bids. The last one was $120. That's what the response was.
So for $20, you fucked over a friend, because you could have just said $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you could have said, "We're taking bids." What are we, fucking eBay? Go to fucking eBay and post it.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are you contacting friends personally and then say we're taking bids?
But here's the thing, I don't know how well you know this person, but that's the way that this person is.
I don't
always will find someone else to do the legwork. Instead of just doing it,
it drives me themselves. The fucking. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I shook my fucking head for the entire rest of the evening. I was like, "Why would she contact us and then say?"
Doesn't surprise me. Oh, you said she. You used a modifier.
Oh. Mm. It could still be Raul.
You know what? I could edit that out, but I'm not gonna. I don't care.
You know who you are.
Care. Yeah, you know. Yeah, like that person doesn't know that we're talking about them.
I don't think they listen.
Exactly. Exactly. Pretty sure they don't listen. But in case you do.
Hi. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Did you subscribe?
Yeah. Like and subscribe.
Now would be a good time to write a review.
Yeah, don't write a review right now.
We're not taking any bids on the subscription.
I just don't understand why they would contact us.
Just put it on eBay. You'll probably get more from them friends anyway.
But that's what I'm saying.
Offer up, all that shit. Whatever you wrote on Facebook, copy and paste that onto Offer Up or Let Go. And that's all you got to fucking do.
But that's
or
what Tinder. I'm saying is that this isn't the first time that something like this happens. She won't go. She won't go to eBay. She won't go to any of these places because she doesn't want to do the legwork.
The legwork of having to ship it.
But it's so much easier. I just sold a bunch of fucking comics for $50. I just put it up on eBay. It's no fucking hassle at all.
Let Go is even easier. Because instead of taking a drive to fucking the box office, or the box office, listen to me, the post office, they take a drive and deliver it to the person who bought it.
The Pony Express?
Like, yeah, just meet me at the McDonald's on fucking 8th Street, and they fucking meet you there. And you
I, I sold a bunch of shit on Craigslist like that. Never once got murdered or raped.
Well, hold on. Craigslist is
unfortunate.
I was looking forward to it, you know?
Oh, I dropped it.
Is there something wrong with me? Why won't you murder or rape me?
David was with the comic books bending over. Like,
yeah. Hey, I can change.
I dropped my comic book. Let me get in the
rape. Am I wearing too little
clothes?
That's the
first rape joke in like four episodes. Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
Jason's back.
It's in the air. It's like pheromones.
One more thing. The Guardians trailer. The new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yeah. Mm.
With that adorable baby Groot. Right, Neri?
It is adorable. It is adorable. That marketing ploy is adorable.
Where the real money of the movie is made.
Isn't it a little heavy-handed? You don't think it's fucking heavy-handed?
Wait, hang on a second. Stop what you're talking about right now, because I know that you're going to talk about something that's going to be on your mountain that you can use the same goddamn argument for. Okay, keep talking. I'm going to roll this and give you enough rope to hang yourself with.
All I'm saying is this.
It started early.
You've already had Baby Groot in part one. I wasn't upset that Baby Groot came out in part one. You already had him in part one.
You mean as the credits were rolling?
Yeah. First of all, the credits weren't rolling.
Hang on a second. If the 2.5 minutes of credits where Batman's parents die doesn't count because credits.
That's not Raul.
Those credits were actually rolling. The credits were not rolling when Baby Groot came out.
They weren't rolling.
They weren't.
It's in between the credits.
It's a mid-credits thing. Literally, it's called a mid-credits thing.
You're gonna go off a fucking technicality here? Okay.
Looks like the referee got a technical and he didn't realize.
Is this a good idea that Neri and David are sitting next to each other for this mountain?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, so my point is, I thought it was a little heavy-handed.
Oh, that whole little scene with the button was fucking fantastic. I'm sorry.
Yes, that whole scene was fantastic. I just feel like the whole... I feel as if the trailer itself looked fantastic and the movie's gonna be great without the need of like, fucking A. How many?
You are so right.
But you know what? To me, like the whole Drax.
It's not like they're saving the entire galaxy with Baby Groot.
But the Drax scene was funnier to me.
The Drax scene was great.
You must be so embarrassed. Do me now.
That is the best.
I died.
He's so on the spectrum.
Yeah.
All right, so you know what happened? He probably got vaccinated.
God, here we go.
I'm kidding. I'm not the vice president.
Or Jenny McCarthy.
Right. I got bigger titties. Anyways, all right, so on to the mountain. Mountain.
This is
All right, so our mountain is our favorite Star Wars characters not named or married into the Skywalker family. All right, so the mountain. How did you guys come up with your mountain, David?
There were two characters. Why are you squeezing his belly? What the fuck is going on here? I just like to untuck his shirt. He's pulling at my fucking fat.
You're the one that wanted to get raped.
Yeah. All right.
Message received.
Hey, shit.
You asked for this.
Little later than expected.
I just like to tuck in. David had his shirt tucked in. He had a dress shirt and a tie, and I just like to untuck. I like to do that when people are standing up in the middle of the day, like at work, and just pull and untuck their shirt and be like, you son of a bitch.
Anyway, the way I did this is we initially had discussed side characters, anything about the Skywalker family, blood or married into.
Right.
So I kind of went with that mentality.
To the listener, the reason we abandoned the quote unquote side characters because it's very hard to distinguish who is a side character in the Star Wars universe and who's not.
Right.
Because some people are side characters in the original trilogy and more main characters in the prequels and da da da, and it becomes very common. Yep. Yeah,
I like that. So, David's rolling up his sleeves.
I know. Well, as ready, long as my shirt's untucked,
he's anticipating.
You should just
what's
take it off
happen.
And leave the tie on.
So,
just the tie,
and say, "Ooh, what a lovely tea party."
So there's a couple characters that, in addition to the Skywalker family, I left off the mountain because I felt like they were. To me, they were main characters.
Poor Aunt Beru.
God, stop talking about my number two. It's because I'm almost number one. I'm sure that we're going to talk about these characters at some point. And I'll say, yeah, you know, they would have made my mountain, but this. I went with what I felt were truly side characters.
Okay.
And also favorites, because that's what the favorite side characters.
Okay. Even though side characters is not
the thing that we're doing.
The thing that we're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But
you went with that.
Okay.
You are self imposed.
Right. So I didn't say, okay, I can do the Skywalker family. I said, okay, in addition to the Skywalker family, I consider these guys to be as important as the Skywalker family, as far as being a main character. So I'm not gonna include these guys.
Okay. Again,
honorary Skywalker.
You went very like again.
So I got what you guys want to do for the topic, but fuck that.
I'm gonna respect your restrictions, but I'm gonna put on a whole other category. That's well, not. See,
but see, side characters is the greatest mountain of all time.
So I'm gonna give the main characters their due. But the side characters is the best characters of all time.
Beyonce is the greatest mountain of all time.
See, here's I felt like. We should have done, which is what we initially discussed, side characters, right? So you can't do main characters. And then if you want to say anyone related to a Skywalker, that's not fair
but
game.
Do you understand that it's very, you were in a thread today. You saw how difficult it was to distinguish what is a main character and what is a side character in, you know, in the trilogy, in the original trilogy and then the prequels. And then it's very difficult to distinguish what is a, you know, side character and one is a main character. And then we try to do it by screen time and we realize even that's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is why I said, okay, well, this is just what I'm going to go with for myself. If I considered them a main character, they were as important as the Skywalker family.
Okay. All right.
Besides the key folks that are involved in the married into or Skywalker by blood at some point, I self-imposed on myself. I was going to go with side... No. I picked the characters.
How great would it be if Jeff was like, I went with everybody who's main.
Yeah.
The main, like the exact opposite.
Not related to Skywalker and main.
Main.
I went with the characters that I think had the biggest influence on the cinematic universe.
Okay.
So they were important to the story throughout the cinematic universe.
All
right. And
Misa, understand what you're trying to say.
All right, guys, I'm out of here.
Okay, so Neri.
Misa gets
Neri,
it.
Neri, this is a dollar from Christy that she signed for you when the first Jar Jar Binks reference was done by you.
Oh!
She knew it was going to happen. So there is a
dollar. For Neri, wow. Yeah.
She goes, I know for a fact Neri's going to fucking say something about Jar Jar. So you give him this dollar.
Why wouldn't all of us say anything about Jar Jar, though? This is a mountain.
About influential favorite, characters.
Of our favorite characters. Why wouldn't we all...
Well, she...
I'll take it, Chrissy. I'm just saying. Money down the toilet because there could have been everybody here. I'm just a lucky one. Jason, how'd you pick your mountain?
I went a little bit of what's already been said. I went with a little bit of the side characters. I went with a little bit on the main. I went with a little bit of influence. I went with a little bit of my favorites. I took from everywhere. I dabbled. Yeah. I dabbed. And
as the newest and therefore by default the newest Star Wars fan of the panel, mm-hmm. and therefore by default the less experienced and the less knowledgeable of the panel, because you guys are fucking, you know, you guys have a whole lifetime of not getting laid to look at these movies, I went with the more what I consider the more badassery characters, the characters that, you know, the writers and or marketing team, they did their job.
Okay.
I remember watching these going like, I like that. Give me a teddy bear of that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Now, one important note we understand that there's an expanded universe. We understand, but we're focusing just on the movies.
On the movies.
Some of my characters in the expanded universe were even cooler and had even more influence, but I just based it off of the movies.
See
what they did in the films.
I didn't. For me, if they appeared in the films, I considered it fair game, and everything that that character has done, I put into this mountain.
Okay.
But they have to appear in the films.
Right.
So I didn't say only movies, but if they were in the movies, then it counts, and therefore everything in the expanded universe, because there are plenty of characters from the expanded universe that would have made my mountain.
Mm-hmm. Thrawn.
Had they, like Thrawn, like Dash Rendar,
I was about to ask you about Dash. I'm like, because Dash technically is in the movie. Did you put him?
No, I didn't. I thought about it. I thought about it because you see the Outrider in the special edition of A New Hope. And I was like, okay, well, Dash Rendar is like my second or third favorite character in all of Star Wars-dom. So,
and he's in the N64 video game.
Yeah, well, that's where my love affair with him started. Then I read the comic book, then I read the novel. I was like, this guy's fucking awesome. He's Han Solo with zero moral fucking code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's so cool. But you know, doesn't make it. Neither does Thrawn. You know, right. But if they were in a book and in the movie, then I said, okay, well, you know, then I'm taking into account what they did outside of the movies as well.
Da-Bing.
I also limited myself to the first 6 movies. I didn't bring in the 7th movie.
So
silly.
Silly guy.
Well, whatever.
I would have a statue.
I didn't either. I didn't either because we don't know enough yet about the characters.
Because there's there's ambiguity.
Yeah, and certainly.
Studying for law school.
Duo Star Wars.
Well, we'll talk about it when Neri says it as his number one.
And with enough law school, I've had enough ambiguity with law school, so fuck this shit.
All right, so...
Sorry, Jeff.
Sure.
No, you didn't.
Oh, sorry. I hit the thing.
That's the thing there.
That was my penis.
Yeah, you wish. You ain't no David. All right, so
number 4 is...
David.
My number 4...
Awful.
The worst.
Lieutenant Riker.
Jar Jar Binks. My number 4 is Grand Moff Tarkin.
Honorable mention for me.
Grand Moff Tarkin. Do I have to? I'm assuming I don't have to.
Neri doesn't probably know this.
He's Googling him right now.
For our listeners, why don't you describe?
Tell me exactly everything.
I know. But it's an audio medium, so I can't just shake my head.
Clearly.
How do you spell that?
Grand
Moff is MOFF.
I'm actually do need to spell it because I need to make the
remember when you went to my house, the one that looked like Andrew Jackson in those 3 pictures?
Yeah.
That's Grand Moff talking.
Grand, like the biscuits.
Moff, MOFF.
Like Muff, but without an O instead of a U.
like how black people say Moth.
Oh my God.
Sure. And Tarkin is Tarkin.
I put E-N.
Yeah. Right. Tarkin. Noob. Tarkin is...
The actual villain. The actual villain of episode 5.
4.
4.
4.
But I'm...
I thought it was 5.
4.
4.
A New Hope.
But isn't 5 when he actually destroys the planet?
4.
No, that's 4.
Okay.
But I'm with you. Tarkin is...
You're in the right mentality, but you're in all the wrong places.
We've had the sex.
A girl let me touch her vagina.
But yeah, I mean, he blows up Alderaan.
I'm sure the girl that let you do that right now is listening.
Going, yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why did I do that?
I call her vagina the Kessel Run.
And I made it at 12 parsecs.
Wow. That seems painful. All right.
So, he blows.
When you shoot the womp rat.
Do you bullseye womp rats?
The hole's very small.
I'll bullseye you with my T-16.
Oh, this is great. I love this.
Are you getting your missile in her exhaust port?
I used force.
Yeah, you did.
I'm divorced after this episode. Love you, honey. Go ahead. Sorry, Grandma.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, he blows up Alderaan, which is, until Force Awakens, the the biggest single loss of life in the entire Star Wars universe. You know, and that's on
cinematic.
Grand Moff, yeah, that's on Grand Moff Tarkin. He's ruthless, absolutely ruthless.
Peter Cushing,
who's a fantastic actor, and there's this interesting dynamic between him and Vader, because you can tell that he respects Vader, but he doesn't fear Vader.
Oh no, Vader! You can almost think that Vader fears him a little bit.
There's this mutual respect there,
yeah.
And you see when they're in the round table and they're discussing.
I'm just laughing at last week. I'm sorry.
Last week
we talked about Tarkin last week.
We did. Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Week. Yeah.
In the Geek News,
he's gonna be played by Paul Walker.
Oh, Paul Walker's
right.
Brother.
Yes. Oh my God, that's right. The Paul Walker thing.
Funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Funniest thing. So the whole time you're talking about Tarkin.
With a cutout of Peter Cushing's face. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
When they're sitting around that table, and Vader clearly is in control, but so is Tarkin, right? Vader's choking this guy out, and Tarkin just says, "Enough. This bickering is pointless." And Vader drops it.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't look at him with distaste or anything.
Him.
He's just like, okay, yeah, enough's enough. And when Vader tells him that, you know, against any sort of fact other than his feeling from the Force, that Obi-Wan is present, he says, it's impossible. He says, I know that he's here. And he says, okay, we'll do something about it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he's like, all right, I'm gonna believe you based on nothing but your word. Mm-hmm. There is a mutual respect there, and it's fantastic. I don't think that. What was that?
He's like, I respect you. Aww.
I think that is who Vader plays best off of. I like the interactions between him and Vader more than Vader and the Emperor.
Well, it's more of an apprentice master dynamic between Vader and Palpatine versus
right.
Grandma, it's more of a more of a student teacher versus coworkers.
Yeah,
right. Well, and the really interesting thing is there are so few Grand Moffs in the Star Wars universe. Like Grand Moff is a title,
right?
And it's above everything except for. Grand Admiral.
Mm-hmm.
That is
how many assholes do I have working on this shit?
and that's the only thing that's above Grand and Tarkin is particularly interesting because a Moff is not a or a Grand Moff rather is not a military
position
personnel. It's a political one, yet he has control of a battle station. Mm-hmm. So he is...
What? Hold up. You're telling me it's political? It's not... What?
He's the only one who has that amount of power. And there's really, like, in the time of A New Hope, he is probably equal with Vader.
Mm-hmm.
As far as power goes, so it's not just that they have a mutual respect for each other, but that their positions are actually equal.
Yeah.
But of course, in the Empire, I hate you. I'm just gonna fucking kill you and move up. There's none of that between them. It's such an interesting dynamic, and I absolutely love him. He's an incredible villain.
That's an honorable mention for me. Definitely nice. Like him.
Cool. Jeffrey,
my number four is. R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Honorable mention for me.
My number four is also just R2-D2.
Okay.
Okay.
I kind of bunched them together because they kind of are symbiotic.
They're like the Weasley twins.
Yeah.
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 I can see that, but I just...
Well, to me, more so R2-D2 than C-3PO.
Exactly. I think the opposite.
See, I'm with you.
I'm actually C-3PO is and he gets a bad rap because he could because we can understand he's complaining. First of all, let's be honest. A little bit too dirty for my taste, R2-D2.
I like that. He's a roughneck.
Every word has to be bleeped out for this fucking guy to be on scene. No, but realistically, I like C-3PO because he gets a bad rap because he gets that, oh, I'm scared and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, he's always complaining type of deal, but he's...
R2 needs the straight man.
He's basically the distinguished English gentleman to the roughneck,
right.
Character. The thing is, R2-D2, without him, the New Hope would have ended in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they would have gotten the plans and the movie would have ended. And the Empire
or
wins.
You could have just given it to C-3PO and it would have been the same thing.
But he wouldn't have because he wouldn't have been able to get away as fast as R2.
Remember, C-3PO...
But none of them got away.
C-3PO doesn't want to escape. They ended up on Tatooine.
They went to the escape pod.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
They both went there and then they got caught.
But
when C-3PO
didn't want to get into the escape pod.
Yeah, it was R2
forced him into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also the trash compactor, he stopped it before it killed everybody.
Yeah,
that's another time where he saved the movie.
But 3PO is the one who hears
it through the.
So yeah, I mean, R2 might be slightly more important to the narrative, and we talked about this too, about how R2 is the one who figures out on Bespin that the Empire has fucked with the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon, and it isn't until R2 tells 3PO this that you know he's like, oh. So all they did was deactivate it? Okay, well, let's... I don't know why there's not a light for that on the Millennium Falcon. There should be, an on-off light, you know?
There's 80,000 lights on there already.
Right, they don't have a light for that.
Kind of like a service engine soon kind of thing.
They have one service engine soon light for every system.
Oil low.
Yeah.
But R2, he's throughout... Throughout the series,
I just picture the light, the check engine light going off in the Millennium Falcon. And he's like, we've checked everything. What could it possibly be? And like, oh, the light in the chessboard needs changing.
You son of a bitch. Why are all these systems tied in together?
But yeah,
there should be independent lights, man.
You can
bypass the compressor.
But
even when you see him in the newer trilogy in episodes 1 through 3, and you see him like that he has like rocket packs and he's saving 3PO from the. Sorry.
Neri is making an impression of Jason moving the microphone around as he speaks.
It's almost as if we gave it to Ray Charles and be like, your microphone. you fucking.
You know, well. But once again, he has to save 3PO from being turned into like molten liquid.
He's always there in when they're in space combat, wherever they are. He's the one that's there, giving assistance, doing repairs.
Yeah, his relationship with Luke is fantastic.
His relationship with Luke is amazing, and even in the new film,
Luke won't fly without him.
Yeah. And even in the new film, he's integral. He's integral. He has the piece of the map.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say something that you guys are gonna hate me for. BB-8 greater than R2-D2. I take BB-8 any day of the week.
I think given another two movies, I might agree with you.
Yeah, I need to see him flesh out a little more.
he's a fantastic character. I do love BB-8.
We got. We got that flesh.
Is this your audition tape for Paul and Ron? Is that what's going on here?
He just rim jobbed you.
Or I guess we could just call it Paul. Right?
But I think R2-D2. Yeah, BB-8's great, but I think R2-D2, he's... And C-3PO.
I think BB-8 has more of a personality. Is that possible? Is that a thing?
I think he's funnier. I think his personality is equal. I don't know that I would say
I
more.
I think it's easier
but in
now,
one movie, and you've had six movies with R2-D2, and in one movie, you're saying they're equal. Think about what you said there.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
No, but that's why I'm saying is I don't know that I can say that until I've seen another two movies.
But BB-8 was easier.
Oh, that with the lighter?
That was awesome. Yeah, that was fantastic.
But BB-8 is it with the technology and everything now, they're able to make him emote more and be more.
That is true.
R2-D2 had to emote by just wobbling back and forth,
with his voice
and
too.
The voice
when he gets lost in those rocks and Tatooine, and you hear him I feel for him, you know.
Yeah,
and the R2 scream.
Yeah. Wow.
But like, and the thing is with C-3PO,
is it the beginning for CSI Miami?
Yeah, David Caruso comes out.
I was going to go with Little Richard. I feel good.
Cold as ice.
Yeah.
But in C-3PO, he's been around since Anakin was, Anakin made him.
Right.
You know, and he's been through the shit with everybody. Remember, Chewbacca had to carry him on his back. Yeah. When he was ripped apart and he's doing those terrible puns
that whole segment of him and Chewbacca and putting him back together.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've put my head on backwards.
But I mean,
I don't know. I
would say hilarious. It was
And maybe it's just because of what you said that C-3PO gets the bad rap, but I just feel that R2-D2 just is a more integral part and does a lot more legwork than 3PO.
Like, oh, yeah. He gets scripted that way. Sure. Yeah. Okay, fine. But we're saying that it's hard to debate whether who's important or who's more important because obviously, yes, R2-D2, I would say, would be
more
important.
He does more.
He does more.
Yeah.
I just think that C-3PO gets left out on the...
He's just a glorified translator. Is what he is.
Yeah. That's very important
protocol.
To us. That's
protocol droid.
Yeah.
That's very important to somebody who's watching a movie and doesn't speak these alien fucking languages. Yeah. That's very important to have a translator on board.
How quickly does Return of the Jedi end if he's not there to translate for the fucking Ewoks?
That's true.
There you
That's
go.
True.
And he's a god.
They would have eaten those people alive.
And he's a god.
That's true.
The Ewoks.
Gold which is my number guy. Four. Gold.
Okay, we're going there.
Yeah, my number four is Ewoks.
So what were the issues that you had with Baby Groot again?
I think that they just
tell him
it's a 2-minute trailer and a minute and a half of that is fucking Baby Groot. I was like, we saw
whereas a quarter of the fucking the Return of the Jedi is the Ewoks.
However, in Return of the Jedi,
and here we go.
In Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks saved the Empire. They were actually part of the story, and you could have had Baby Groot as part of the end of part one, which you did, and you could have had Baby Groot as 2 minutes of part two, and then get a teenage Groot. How cool would that have been to see something we didn't see?
How much water and sunlight are you giving this thing?
Really? So that he grows that logical? There's a 1985 Walkman that he's carrying around with, and it still fucking works.
Because
they
built those things like fucking brick houses.
Oh yeah,
then
did they? Because mine didn't last until 1986.
That's not my fault that you mishandled your things.
Right. So we're saying that in space everything works better.
Hey guys. Yes.
Hey guys, hold on a second.
Fight.
Anyways, I think the Ewoks are imperative. They're not my number four. I'm totally fucking around.
He got heated.
But still,
because I know I'm gonna get grief for at least one of my picks.
Well, I'll tell you right now, they're an honorable mention.
Ewoks. I wanted to bring up the Ewoks
when Wicket dies.
Because I just
that is impactful. Yeah. I will say that is impactful
when Wicket dies. When he gets blown up and the other Ewok's like, and they're
like, hey, look, man, I'm the one that thinks that Jedi is the best one of the original six. I'm the one that thinks that. I believe that. That's my opinion. I also believe that the Ewoks are imperative to the Empire.
The Rebellion.
I mean, again, like you said, because it's scripted that way.
Right, yeah. So I'm with that. My issue with Baby Groot is that they made the entire trailer Baby Groot when it didn't have to be.
I got you. No, I understand.
The entire trailer didn't have to be Baby. You could have had Baby Groot in one shot, maybe two. You had him in seven of the nine shots, and the best shot wasn't even him. It was fucking Drax.
It's the same way that they did with Suicide Squad and Harley Quinn. They knew that shit was going to sell. And Joker. Joker was in all the fucking
But Harley
things.
Quinn, Harley Quinn is, there is an argument to be made that Harley Quinn is the fucking best character in Suicide Squad.
For sure.
Okay, so
but what about Joker? They put Joker in all those fucking trailers.
Yes, because that...
We're going off point here.
My point is
and the last one. We had to cut the fucking news out because we went so far off the edge.
The listeners didn't know that.
Well, they do now.
This was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine.
Oh, I like rap.
I'm down with the hip and the hop. I can get
into the hip. My real number four is because
David said that.
My real number
that was Raul, by the way.
Was it Raul?
No,
that was you.
No, I didn't say I like the hip and the hop.
No, I said
I'm down with rap.
No, you can say I could get into hip hop.
Yeah, I could get into hip hop. Nobody said I'm into the hip.
I think I said rap. But I could have said whatever.
My real number four is Finn.
Finn's a great character.
I think Finn is a fantastic character. I love him on multiple levels. I love him because he's played by John Boyega, who is a fucking diehard fan.
Yeah.
Who is so like it just
attack the block. What?
Yeah. So he is just the fact that somebody who's an Uber fan gets a role is awesome. Then the role itself or the character itself is amazing, where he goes into that that he's the only one that has a kind of like awakening of the stormtroopers to have mm-hmm. an awakening, to have a conscious awakening and be like, well, this isn't right. What the fuck are we doing here? He doesn't shoot. He doesn't fire.
Right.
Which I think is fantastic.
And that's ultimately what gets him in trouble.
The back and forth. Well, he took off his helmet. That's what gets him in trouble. The back and forth between him and
Ray.
No.
Poe.
Oh, yeah, that's
guy
awesome.
Love between two guys.
If you every time I watch them, I really want to edit those scenes of him and Paul and just put the
Rocky.
No, I want to put the Top Gun theme.
Oh,
I
got you.
Playing with the boys.
But that's what that scene reminds me of when Rocky and
Apollo
and Apollo are hugging at the beach. That they run towards each other. That's exactly that scene.
Tell the word.
Oh, that's the best.
I don't remember
the meme, top of the meme. It says, "If you love me, tell the whole, yell it to the whole world." And then he whispers it in his ear. Yeah. He's like, "You're I love you." And he goes, "Why'd you only say it in my ear?" And he goes, "Because to me, you are my world."
And then he's like, "Ooh!"
I think it's the best. But I love Finn. I love the fact that he went. That to me is a better, and there could be an argument as far as his origin story may be by the numbers as far as what we talked about with Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. but I think it's better done. His origin story, like, he just wanted to get the fuck out. Like, I'm not, like, he lied about being a hero to get a ride. And then he found the chick, which arguably I think he fell in love with.
I think so too.
It could be that they're just friends. It could be that he just, you know, found somebody that he's cool with. It could be friends, but, you know, she's white, he's black. They're going to get it on.
but she may not be chunky enough for him.
And Jesus.
Wow, that's so accurate.
You know, I didn't think about it until right now. Like,
I thought about it when I said it. And I was like, that doesn't even make any sense, but I'll just go with it because it's a racial joke.
But the thing with Finn is you, I came to find out that, like, there's actually backstory that they didn't, like, the whole reason why that one trooper, one that became famous that called him traitor, he was part of a special unit,
right?
That they didn't go into at all.
They did in one of the books.
Well, in the book, but in the movie, and I think that because.
Which could still be revealed, man.
Well, yeah.
He's in a coma right now. That's the perfect time to do a fucking backstory,
a little flashback. Because that would explain why that guy is so angry at seeing him.
He did mention that that all the boys in his village were taken from their parents, and they were brainwashed and trained and all this stuff. So he just broke through the programming, you know.
But Finn, he stood up toe to toe with a Sith, untrained, with the lightsaber, and he fought really well.
He is so noble.
The Sith was injured like a motherfucker.
Well, and he didn't last long, but that is what Finn has, is heart. To me, he is the
Mati.
Mountains of heart.
He's the Mati. Mountains and mountains.
He is the Mati of the new series.
But he must be a Skywalker because he knows how to turn on a lightsaber. Based on
Raul's prerequisite for being a Skywalker, he knows how to turn it on. Well, okay, in that case. But my point is, I love Finn. I think Finn is fantastic.
He is a great character.
That origin story to me was done perfectly. And again, it could be argued that it's paid by the numbers as far as he didn't want to do it. It was against his will. Then somebody close to him got hurt and injured, and then he reluctantly fell into the role of a hero, and then he embraced it. Okay, sure. But the way it went about it and the way he acted it out, I think it's top-notch. He's only my number four out of respect for the people in the rest of my mountain.
Yeah.
Because arguably he would be the newest character in my mountain.
Okay.
So out of respect for the other three, I put him at number four because then people are going to be like, you put this guy over, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whatever. And on top of that, cherry in the fucking pie, he pissed off so many racist people. I fucking love it. I love the fact that just his casting pissed off all these racist assholes. I was like, oh, power to you.
Did you ever see the movie Attack the Block? That was like one of his first films.
No, I know the movie you're talking about.
He was awesome in it. That's why when they cast him, I was like, okay.
I like the fact that you go, I know the movie you're talking about. Yeah, he just said it. It's called Attack the Block. That's literally what he just just said.
Thanks, Neri.
But
savage.
But that's why. I left the new movie out, because I feel like you can actually make a mountain of just the characters.
Yeah, the characters are so strong there. But
challenge accepted.
But their whole story hasn't been told yet.
Right.
Which is why I didn't want to lay any of those characters on this mountain.
Well, that's why I put them on this mountain, because that's why I put Finn on this mountain, and I'm okay with putting anybody on Episode 7 on this mountain, because this is one of those mountains where the more movies they make, the more we could revisit this topic.
That's true.
And change it around. There's, you know what I mean? There's some mountains where, like, we can't do another 90s sitcom episode.
No,
because it's there's over. No more 90s sitcoms. They've all been done.
But there will be more Star Wars until the day movies die.
Look at the Goldbergs. It could be like an 80s sitcom.
But it's not.
But it's not made in the
80s. But it's based on the 80s.
But it's not.
Jason, that's such a Raul argument. I don't even know what to fucking say.
All right, so...
you know what my favorite aspect of Finn's character is? In the movies, because there was a video game where they did this. But in the movies, we haven't seen what it's like to be a stormtrooper from the eyes of a stormtrooper. It's so interesting to get that, like, shell shock. For me, that opening scene felt
they
like...
They should have had the POV where they show how the helmet blocks their sight, which is why they miss so much.
But for me...
There's just a really tiny slit.
Was it Family Guy who did that? Like, oh, I can't see anything. No wonder I can't hit anything. But yeah, it felt to me like... The scene where they where the Tet Offensive starts in Full Metal Jacket, where it's like crazy. No, I'm sorry. Fucking Platoon. When Charlie Sheen's character first gets let out, and there's just people fucking getting mowed down left and right. That's what that scene felt like to me. It felt like a real war story. It was fucking awesome. Great pick, dude.
All right. So
number fours are.
R2-D2's, Grand Moff Tarkin, C-3PO and R2-D2 by Jeff, and R2-D2 by Jason, and Finn.
By Neri.
By me. So
nice.
There you go.
Numero tres.
My number three may need to be tabled, and it is Yoda.
Actually, that's my number three.
That's my number three.
Oh, okay. Is it?
Yes.
Table? That is,
are you we'll switch around. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Was it your number two?
Yeah,
it was. It was my number three. It was originally my number four, and out of respect for him, I was like, well, I can't fucking put him
you
over
can't put Yoda
Finn.
Over.
Yeah.
But I really, at one point, I really wanted to put Finn over Yoda, but I was like, no,
you're gonna put Finn over an autistic alien, really?
He's not
or dyslexic. Dyslexic. Sorry,
he's not dyslexic either. He just speaks in inverted sentences.
Yeah, oh, dyslexic.
Okay. That's the definition. All right.
Does he know what jokes are?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
It's like joke killer.
Not when it comes to autism.
He's like Drex.
Thank you. Thank you, Neri.
He's like Drex. He doesn't
Yoda.
Understand.
Yoda.
It could not go over my head. I'm too fast.
We're all talking Yoda here. So
yeah, Yoda.
Yeah. Yoda.
Can I just say one thing before, and I'm sure you guys are going to give an in-depth history of Yoda, because you guys know way more than I do.
877 years ago. No.
I love the fact, and this is very arguable, but I think it's, whatever, it's my opinion. I love the fact that Yoda is one of the very few characters that is better in the prequels than he is in the original three. Just the fact that you see him fucking take up a lightsaber.
See,
Him against Dooku?
If you did that fucking jizz when he fucking that close up.
That is the only thing about Yoda I don't like is that lightsaber battle.
What the fuck? What? Oh fuck,
Neri,
what the actual
put the gun down.
Literally the best fucking part of all the prequels is fucking Yoda in a lightsaber.
I'm incredibly blaster.
Are you
blaster.
Fucking A, man.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable right now.
It felt so hokey to me.
The puppet you're okay with. The fucking puppet you're okay with, but you're not okay with the fucking... Wow!
It it felt so contrived to me.
What the fuck?
First of all, explain contrived to him.
That's why I said, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
That's exactly why I said, what the fuck, man?
It was forced in there, man. It did not feel natural to me.
What are you
really?
Yoda's 800 fucking years old.
Not then. That then he was a spry 740. Spry.
Dude, young. I know people love that scene. I know
everybody
love that scene.
But you. Everybody
sure,
but you.
I'm sure.
If
but
there was a way to fucking rate that movie on Rotten Tomatoes, that scene on Rotten Tomatoes, it would be 99.9.
I'm sure.
And so, David,
I'm
sure. That but one, David, sir. So considering the fact that in the cinematic universe, Yoda is arguably the strongest Jedi out of all Jedis.
Yeah.
Is that really arguable?
Well, I'm just saying.
That's kind of a fact, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I think Vader has.
But Vader becomes.
But Vader becomes a
Sith. He's no longer a Jedi when he becomes.
He never actually became a Jedi. He was still a Padawan when he turned.
Yeah. That's right.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a master, but he was a Jedi.
He was still.
No, in Episode 3, I think he was a Jedi.
He was a Jedi. They move him to the Council, they tell him, "We do not grant you the title of master."
I mean, we're bringing in outside sources, but he is a Jedi. He has his own Padawan in Clone Wars.
Yeah. He is a Jedi. He's not a Padawan.
But he's a Jedi. He's not a master. He's a Jedi. However, when his powers become at their peak, he's a Sith.
No longer a Jedi. The difference between Sith and Jedi is only in what part of the Force they tap into.
Exactly. So
the amount of people you murder.
Yeah. Right. It's exactly the same thing. In fact, until the prequel trilogy, there was no word Sith. They just called them Dark Jedi.
Yeah, he had the upside. I had the downside. It's two sides to every sword.
Yeah, I don't buy that. But look, I know. I know the argument that he channeled the Force through him to do all these things, and I buy that argument. I understand that it is possible to be that strong in the Force to take your like old shitty body and do all these things. But I didn't like it. For me, what makes Yoda great is not the fact that he can fight and do these things, but it's that he doesn't.
But he did that one. He only did it that one time. This is what I love about it. It wasn't even like a million. First of all, he did it twice though, right? Because he fought in episode two. He fought in the fucking big battle.
Did he?
Yeah.
But that's where the fight was in Clone Wars.
Yeah. No.
The fight with Dooku where he starts jumping all over the place is Clone Wars.
Episode 3.
No.
That's
the end of Clone Wars.
Okay. That's the only time that he does.
He's on the ship and he's flying over and then they drop him off and that's where he faces off with Dooku.
Bro, I love that fucking scene.
I thought that
after the fight scene. The fact that he picks up his cane and then
just starts walking slow.
That for me was even worse. It was just that it was like so. It was like, okay, now I'm gonna fight and now I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, because he channeled the Force.
Because he channeled the Force only to fight because he needed to.
After that,
I'm going back to my. I don't need it. It's kind of like when Xavier channels his fucking telepathy to be able to walk. It's fucking strenuating. It's like, I'm fucking tired. I don't want to fucking. I could walk, but fuck it. My mind hurts.
I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm not saying that I don't believe that it would happen. I'm just saying that I didn't like it because what I like about Yoda is Yoda the teacher, not Yoda the badass warrior. Because in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke looks for him and he says, I'm looking for a great Jedi Knight. He was a warrior and all this stuff. Yoda's there. And it isn't until he fucking like gets this idea out of his head that you have to be a badass with a lightsaber. You have to be this big fucking hulking, you know, monstrosity.
But
that he's like, oh shit.
But it's not like they fucking.
But he
like
doesn't have
him,
to be.
Yeah, it's not like they made Yoda the Incredible Hulk to fight, and then he shrunk back to his regular body. He was still in the same body. He was still him. Like that, some of the great teachers, man. Sometimes to be a great teacher, you have to lead by example. And I was a fucking tired.
The way I look at it is, he's like a martial artist who says, "I know I'm a 18th degree black belt. Mm-hmm. I can kill you with a pencil, but I'm not going to attack you unless I am threatened or unless it is the last resort." In that case, the way that the Clone War battle was going on, he was like, "I need to step in. I need to face Dooku."
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I didn't love that scene. For me, everything that is great about Yoda is not that. Everything that is great about Yoda is the training that he gives Luke in Empire Strikes Back.
Limited training.
Right. But even then, what you were saying about you, he needed to get that mentality out of his mind of, oh, you don't need to be this great warrior with the lightsaber and this and that. It's like, you know what? But he can still teach that and still be the Yoda that you see in episode 2 because he's like, you know what?
I don't think it takes away from his character.
Exactly. he's like, you know what? I don't need to be that person unless it is a last resort.
You can tell that there.
It's a last resort.
And yeah. And I think it adds to the character of Empire because he's like, I've been there and I know that it's not all about that. And in fact, they split because you were talking about the training, the limited training, Neri. The combat training was done by Obi-Wan to Luke.
Right.
And then all the remaining training, there was no combat training. Like, yeah, he had him flip and
no, get but really, agile, he taught him how to use the force.
But he taught him the force. He taught him the non-combative side of the force.
Right.
So he's kind of like, okay, I've been through that. Yeah, I know you're looking for this warrior and stuff like that. That's not everything. It's this is what really makes a Jedi.
Listen, I'm not saying it ruins the character of Yoda. I don't think so. I just didn't like seeing him hobble in, then jump around like fucking Speedy Gonzales, and then hobble out. I thought the way it came off was hokey. I think that there would have been better ways to do it. I would have preferred not to see it at all. That's just what I'm saying.
I really like
the fight with him and Palpatine. The fight with him and Palpatine, just the force? Where they're just using the force. That's fucking awesome. But for me, what I love about Yoda, is when Luke is trying to pick up the fucking X-wing, and he says it's impossible, right? And then Yoda doesn't fucking say a word. You want to talk about lead by example? He just sits there, raises the X-wing fighter, brings it back over, and puts it down. And Luke says it's impossible. He says, and that's why you fail.
Right.
That's the fucking Yoda that I fell in love with, and I understand that everyone, and I'm talking to everyone. Loves that fucking lightsaber battle. I don't care for it. I don't think it takes away from his character. I know that's an aspect of his character.
I think that's an amazing scene too. Yeah. These are all reasons why he's my number three.
Right.
These are all great. My favorite is when he lifts up the big statue and he drops it on Barr's foot. That to me.
Upsy-mousy, upsy-daisy.
But the thing is, he's 900 years old.
Yeah.
He's led the Jedi Council for 800 years.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, he was the one that when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan brought Anakin, he's like, no, don't train that kid. And they're like, no, well, fuck you. And that's why he got cut in half.
Right.
But he's like, no, I'm going to train him. And he could sense it. Mm-hmm. And that's how wise he was. He was like, yeah, no.
And Qui-Gon said, listen here. Shove it in your pointy ear.
Fact.
Wow.
That's word for word.
I like the fact that Yoda saw the kid and was like, he has a rat tail, guys. Nobody else is going to say anything about that. We're just going to let this fucking slide. All right, whatever. All
right. Are you going to take him back to the trailer park right now? No? All right. Does he have to meet up with his carny parents?
Smell like cabbage. Small hands.
Would you guys get in the Polar Express?
Do you want to go fast?
But that is my favorite aspect of Yoda is this wise man. And for me, I talked about last week about the mystery of Indiana Jones, and it's the only thing I don't like about The Last Crusade is how that mystery of him is taken away when he introduced his father, which is fantastic, and I love Sean Connery.
And you find out but the dog
the,
is Indiana.
The, right. The mystery of Yoda, of him, like, Luke sees him, and he doesn't look anything like what you would imagine a Jedi Knight would be. And then you see him on the council, and you still don't have an idea of why people would respect this guy so much, but they do. For me, that mystery is taken away when you see him start jumping around and all that stuff. Hold on.
And to contradict exactly what you just said with your own words, you see him in the console and you're wondering why is everybody like respect him because he fucking can lift an X-wing without fucking blinking.
Well,
that's already given. That whole thing or that mystery is already given up when you first meet
him. You already know he's powerful.
Yeah.
So, like, I even
him
remember,
picking up a lightsaber doesn't mean, oh, this makes him the best. Like, it just, you know.
I don't think it takes anything away from his character except a little bit of that mystery of the character where Luke is looking for a warrior. And he doesn't, that's the beautiful thing about Empire Strikes Back is how into the Force it goes that you don't have to be.
Or you don't have to look like what you would think a warrior looks like.
You don't have to be Obi-Wan in episode 3 or episode 2.
I'm just shocked that the little person's upset that the little person kicked ass.
Yeah. No, I'm not upset at, I mean, that no, it happened.
I honestly thought he was somebody.
I'm not upset it happened. I just would rather have not seen it.
Like, but I remember. I do
get some enjoyment out of seeing him kick Dooku's ass.
I remember in the theater.
I remember watching him fucking turn the lightsaber on, and I was jizzing my.
Oh, that was awesome.
In
that
the theater,
was great.
When you just see
that fucking close up.
Well, calls the lightsaber into his hand.
No, but even before that, when you just see him start walking, in out of the hallway
he
corner.
Opens a quote.
And then you, like when he just starts walking, everybody just goes, "Oh shit!" And then he just does the pulls the
watch this movie
in the theater,
Liberty City. Where'd you watch this movie? Oh shit,
it's Star Wars fans, dude. And Force Awakens, bro, was just as bad.
But what I was expecting there, and maybe it's just that I didn't get what I expected. What I was expecting was a battle of Force powers and not a lightsaber battle.
But Dooku was never a force power Sith. That's,
yeah.
But he was a combat Sith.
You did. And that's what I did like.
Fight.
Is
that
was
awesome.
He saves Anakin and Obi-Wan while he's fighting. Like, that's fucking badass.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yoda's the man. There's so much. We're arguing now what parts we didn't like.
Yeah.
As opposed to
not what we didn't like, what we liked more.
Yes.
And, that's
how honestly, I thought you'd be eye to eye with Yoda.
Come on here.
He's everyone's favorite little green man.
Oh my God! It's a soundboard app. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you think he was getting these sounds
from? On YouTube, for some reason. That's where I got my belt fight. All right, so everybody had that as number three.
Yeah. That'll be number three.
Number two.
My number two is actually my second favorite character in all of Star Wars-dom.
Oh, God.
Lando Calrissian.
Oh, okay. 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 The other black guy in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, Lando, in my opinion, is
the blackest brother in the galaxy.
Maybe the most interesting character.
Oh my God!
The master of anal. Can we just acknowledge what he just said?
Coke 45 malt liquor.
I like the callbacks.
For someone who wasn't listening the last time Jason was on the episode, that was talked about. I'm sorry. Yeah. And they're like, what the fuck was that all about?
Seven
episodes ago, there was a joke, man, and you got to...
Yeah.
Now you got to know
keep
that
up,
joke.
People. Come on.
Just to show you, I don't even remember the joke. I just know that it was about...
That there was
Mando.
A joke.
There was a joke. All right, go ahead.
I think he might be the most interesting character in all of Star Wars.
Damn, I'm stepping on my.
We'll get to the fucking punchline,
no,
dude.
No, fucking. You can't hear it because you don't have the earphones on, but when he goes, whoa, they wouldn't have been able to hear what I said. So I stopped talking.
I was genuinely upset
let
about
him finish
that.
So no one heard it. Why don't you give it to us now?
But then after he stopped saying, then Jason swooped in, and I was like, God, that was my.
Good job, Mencia.
You're welcome.
All right, Lando.
Neri, say the joke.
You can edit my joke out.
Yeah, say it, Neri.
I like the fact that my spell check, when I wrote Lando, it gave me the O with the
Lando.
Lando.
Lando. Lando. That's more interesting than Lando. Why would you say that? I'm curious.
Okay, because he seems to have...
I don't drink very often.
Because he's ethnic?
No.
It's Coke 45.
Fuck, man, I can't say that on the fucking podcast.
Ethnic?
No, I mean, I can't say that's the reason why. I gotta come up with another.
Listen,
reason.
We've said some way worse things on here.
Somebody here admitted to voting for Trump. Trust me, there's been a lot of worse shit.
And there's some rape, and the same one that made the rape jokes.
And the same one that said that the blacks like the chunkies.
Oh my God. The same one who was just talking.
Yeah, go on. What were you saying that you couldn't say on this podcast?
Okay. No, I mean, there is seemingly no reason for him to get involved with the rebellion, yet he does.
The reason he gets involved with the rebellion is because he
Vader
sold them out,
yeah.
And then he felt guilty, and to make up for that, he got involved.
But this is why I like Lando so much is because.
Oh, I'm not saying that he's not a bad guy, but your statement of there's no reason for him. There's a reason. It's called guilt, and it's called
guilt.
Red in your ledger.
And here's
red in your ledger, and you're trying to wipe that out.
But here's why I love him because
he
may have snuck in a little quickie with his best friend's
That's girl. Probably well, true.
That's a given.
That's probably true.
You know Leia likes some dark.
Ooh,
there's such an interesting sense of morality with Lando. Like, Lando does things because it's the right thing to do. Where
after he sells his friends out,
I think he does
okay.
It.
He was forced well, into that.
It was the right thing to do for Cloud City.
Yeah,
he was doing that to protect Cloud City, not giving a fuck.
No,
about...
Listen. If you think he had a choice in selling out Han and Leia, you are grossly misinformed.
No, he had a choice.
No, he did not.
But he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, it wasn't a good choice.
It was the same way
that when they were walking away, he had the guys turn on the Empire.
Because he decided I'd had enough.
But he could have done that from the beginning.
Yeah. He would have died.
He had a choice.
He waited.
He would have died just as bad there.
You had a choice. You had a choice. It wasn't a favorable choice, but it was a choice.
He had enough time to think of a plan where he could save his friend and save himself.
But he didn't save his friend.
He did.
He got taken off of Cloud City.
It took 3 years, but he did.
Yeah, just enough time.
He did.
Leia saved.
Just enough time to lay that wood.
And he was flying the Millennium Falcon like an asshole.
Maybe Finn is a Solo.
Yeah.
Or a Skywalker.
Yeah.
But I mean, his character, his mannerism, everything about him.
Well, it's Billy Dee Williams.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the coolest fucking guy in all of Star Wars. I don't care what character comes after him. He's always gonna be the coolest.
Mm-hmm. If I was just doing a favorites mountain, he was gonna be on my mountain.
And
exactly what this is.
No, but I didn't do favorites. I did most.
Well, I did. I did favorites, and he is my second favorite character in all of Star Wars. And.
I'm really worried about your number one, bro.
If you go into the books, all right, and I know we said characters in the books don't count, but he's in the movies, so his book actions count. All the stuff that he does in the Thrawn trilogy is so fucking awesome because, again, he's managed to make himself a respectable businessman. He started up his own mining colony again, and again, the Empire fucks him over. And...
You mean again he sells people out?
No, he doesn't sell anyone out this time.
So he did. You see how the choices work?
Ooh.
Okay.
Did we just learn a lesson?
Sure.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sure. All right. But
on your soundboard?
But he also doesn't have Vader there to, like, force choke him. Because when a Sith Lord is looking at you and saying you're going to do this, please. You do it.
No, well, when Grand Moff Tarkin says it, then you fucking move. Vader does it. You're like, get the fuck out of here. All right, second in command. Third.
Because he even said, we've made a deal. We've brokered a deal with the Empire that will keep Cloud City covered for some time.
Yeah, because that's what Vader told him. But, I mean, he may have believed that because he was trying to convince himself of that. But he really had no choice.
Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. I love flawed characters. He's a flawed character. I get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
I do like that aspect.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like
it. And that he makes up for it.
The thing is, I think your idea of Lando, you're going through a lot of what came out of the Thrawn trilogy. Because to me, the character that I see in the time on screen isn't this conflicted super... Like, he's conflicted after he sees that he fucked up.
Yeah.
But he, up until that point, I think he was in it for Cloud City. He was in it for himself and Cloud City. He didn't give a fuck what happened. It wasn't until after that he's like, I don't like the way that they were looking at Han and Leia were kind of looking at me now.
I didn't think Leia was going
to
be that hard.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to get that pussy now because she's mad at me. Because
before that, it was like, CC. And that's all I give a fuck about. He was just claiming
CC. You also have to understand that the deal that Vader made with him is that all of them were going to be safe. They weren't going to be allowed to leave Cloud City, but they were going to be safe. What he wanted was Luke. So in his mind, he was saving these guys from the Empire, he's saving Cloud City, and he's giving Vader someone who he doesn't give a fuck about.
Because he doesn't know him.
Right. Exactly. So in his mind, all he was doing was best for him and for his friend. Right? But if you truly think that he had a say in what was going to go on, then you're truly misinformed. Fucking Fidel Castro just died, and we've talked nonstop about how, you know, people don't have a fucking choice. in Cuba.
Oh, that's what you've been talking. I've been talking about the greatest hookers of all time.
Well, that too.
That's what we're talking about.
That too. But I mean, that's,
to the listener,
and that is,
there was once a claim that Cuba had the greatest hookers of all time. That was a bragging note.
I'll believe it.
Okay, I mean,
I'm trying to remember, because
now that he died, now the other hookers in the world now have a chance in the international
what's the question?
Had Vader left at the point where he did the switcheroo?
No. Like, No. Vader keeps changing the deal. And in fact, Lando makes a comment of that, because...
No, I know he kept changing the deal, but what I'm saying is, when he's walking and they do the whole, you know, turning on the Empire, Vader left already?
No, Vader was down in the bowels of Bespin waiting for Luke.
So he was still there.
He was up at the top of Cloud City. Vader was, I mean, effectively in a different fucking city altogether, you know?
Okay.
And he saw an opportunity where he was like, all right, this deal keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I've already lost Han here. I have to do something to
save the pussy.
Yeah, I have to do something to make this better.
All right. Lando, number two.
Yeah.
All right. Jeffrey.
And my number two is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan.
Table.
Honorable mention.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Table.
Well, I'll just say honorable mention for me, because he's one of those that I thought is a main character.
We fucking talk about table.
Raul.
Okay.
So table.
How does table work? I'm not too sure. Why is Raul Indian now? Hello, thank you very much to be coming.
Oh, there is something I must be telling you about this table. Jason, what is the table? What is your number two?
What is the table? It's a thing that you eat on.
You should be not very familiar with.
I just scarf it down.
My hand?
You cut my hand at the table?
I eat hand good.
Jason, what's your number two?
My number two is Boba Fett.
Table.
Oh, shit.
Guess who made the mountain, Neri?
So much shit.
Neri.
Jeff, I will pay you $50 if you pick what's his name? Misa, as your number one, and I'll pick him as my number one so he could be on the mountain. And then
you're gonna pay him $50?
Yeah, I'll pay him $50 if you do
fuck
that.
Fuck, pay me the $50. Yeah. I'll put him on.
No, fuck you, Lando.
Such a if fucking shit pick. Fucking Boba. Are you fucking kidding me? You could have
picked. Table! You could have picked.
Fucking dad.
God damn it.
You could have picked his fucking dad.
It's tabled. It's tabled, Neri. It's tabled. It's tabled, Neri. It's fucking tabled. It's fucking tabled. It's tabled. You can't talk. It's tabled. It's tabled.
Let the hate flow through you. Did that yell really? Was that really loud in your ears, Neri?
No, I have the earphones on.
I know, but aren't you hearing his thing?
No, he got off the mic to yell.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm so happy with my pick.
I mean, you know, still got to be professional about this.
Please tell me that you just changed that on purpose as a hope that somebody had Boba Fett.
No, it was
the fucking shirt that he's wearing. Are you kidding me?
Because I think he did that.
He voted for the real life Boba Fett. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry.
Okay. So Neri, what's your number two?
I post a picture of my shirt on the website so that everyone knows what I'm wearing.
My number two is General Grievous.
Interesting. He's a cool character.
I thought he was a phenomenal character. I love the fact that he had a cough. everything about this guy, the fact that he has four arms and then he had four lightsabers. I mean, that whole fight was fucking awesome. You know, he gets, I think, often forgotten about because he came out in the sequels. In the prequels, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, and people dislike the prequels, so they fucking shot on him, so they kind of dismissed him and just moved around.
Yeah.
But I thought General Grievous was...
He's a cool character.
He comes out a lot more in the Clone Wars.
And doesn't he... Yeah, in the Clone Wars, he's a lot in the cartoon. But it was... Because I know his cough was because...
George Lucas voiced the character, and he had bronchitis at the time that... that they were doing the voiceover work, and they just added it in there because he thought it would be interesting.
But I thought that there was some kind of story about something.
They ended up doing it where, yeah, the only human parts left of him were his lungs and his brain, I think, and that was it. So they salvaged those things for some reason. I don't know. I didn't...
it was something like that, though. That's why he had the cough.
I thought his backstory was... not so great, but I did like him in
his backstory is very, like, that's very RoboCop.
Yeah, that's what, and it's very Vader.
It's very Vader. Bionic man.
I thought that his character in the movies were quite good. I thought that the little gimmicks like the cough were kind of stupid, but the character himself and the whole that he collects lightsabers from Jedi, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's cool as shit.
He's one of the few really good things about
first
the
of all, there's something to me about a lightsaber battle when you could wield two at one time. Say what you want, and I know a lot of people and everybody hates, you know, Christensen, but when he was wielding two at one time, who was he fighting?
Dooku.
That's fucking badass. I'm like, wow, that's fucking amazing. Like, I just aesthetically looks good, but when you get down to it, being able to master two swords, you, David, who took more swords, know the complexities of fucking handling two weapons.
It's not easy. It's as difficult as firing two guns at the same time.
Have you ever dived through the air while shooting two guns at the same time? Who was it that hadn't seen Hot Fuzz?
Me.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't finished it.
It's actually my favorite of that series.
Yeah,
I love Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, you guys were talking about it, but I like Shaun of the Dead. But
yeah, man, I thought that was a fantastic character. I liked that he had a cape.
Anybody with a
this guy has fucking everything, man. He has a fucking cape. He has four arms, two of which are retractable. He could be like fucking Stitch. he just sucks in his arms.
He's like it's the perfect.
He is Stitch with his skin melted off.
Yeah. Oh, Hana.
Don't smoke, kids.
But I
can't remember. He doesn't come in Attack of the Clones, right? He doesn't come in until Revenge of the Sith.
No, he was in Clones because Obi-Wan. That's when he fights Obi-Wan. That's when Obi-Wan beats him.
Yeah. So I fucking love that
reason number 700.
And then Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith. He dies at the beginning, right? In the cockpit of the ship.
Yeah, was that Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah,
I think that was.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Or was that the beginning of Attack?
No, I think that was the beginning because I think he dies with the fight with Obi-Wan. Because Obi-Wan kills him. Because he talks about it in the comic that you linked me today. He says, "I'm a survivor." You ask Grievous, ask you know Darth Maul, ask whatever. So, but I don't remember if it was in the ship or because I know he had the big battle.
I think he kills him in the ship
because it was after Order 66 was executed is when he was fighting him. I think.
Well, Order 66 is Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, so then maybe it was Revenge of the Sith.
I'm gonna check this out because I can't remember.
Jason's looking it up now. Okay. I just think he's a cool character, man. And again, being the new one to fall in love with Star Wars in the panel. This is one of the characters that I was talking about. Yes, I knew I was gonna be alone on this, because when I got into Star Wars, when I saw this, I was new to getting into Star Wars, and I just thought, man, this character looks fucking cool. And I just loved the fact that it took me a second to realize that he was part human, as small part as that is. I was like, oh, I just thought he was a regular robot. You know, they had those robots that had the little force field on them. So I thought he was like a glorified version of that.
He was a droid.
The droid drones, that's what they called him.
And then when I saw him take out the lightsabers, I was like, holy shit! Game on, Bridger! Yeah, that's I thought that shit was... they paid him the attention and the due that I wish they would have given Darth Maul.
Yeah, Darth Maul's a
way more complex character in the books, and he's a lot... Yeah.
Grievous dies in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
It is the only film he appears in, but he does appear in The Clone Wars, the TV show.
Yeah.
So, if they would have given this much attention to Darth Maul, I think it would have been I think my list would have been better, because Darth Maul, just aesthetically, is...
Well, and Ray Park's awesome. The guy that plays him.
Yeah.
And the dual end lightsaber, I mean...
Did you see Fanboys?
Yeah.
Yes.
I own the Fanboys.
Me too. Have you seen that?
No.
So good.
Oh, we should do that.
Ray Park makes a cameo.
A lot of people make cameos.
Cameo. But Ray Park's is incredible.
Yeah.
Yes. But actually, Darth Maul is one of my honorable mentions. And because of that, because he's fighting with a lightsaber and then he stops. And when he brings out the other end, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's holding his own with one.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, bitch.
And then,
you know what that is? That's the I am not left handed.
Yeah.
Ray Park, he came out in there was a documentary on SportsCenter, as a matter of fact, talking about the art of how Star Wars ties into Aikido.
Because that's cool.
The fighting, the lightsaber battles are actually fundamentally Aikido.
It's defensive.
Yeah, they're very defensive, and their actions. And then Ray Park, they interviewed him, and he's actually the fight coordinator for all of these. And he talked about how he showed how this is a, you know, and he showed an Aikido move. He goes, "This is the Aikido move. This is how we do it in Star Wars." And he just added like a little extra flip or whatever, or turn of the wrist or whatever. And I was like, "Oh, very cool." So yeah, I've seen him.
That's before. Cool.
Fun fact: Ray Park actually plays a Toad in the original X-Men. When he knocks Storm down the elevator shaft, he kicks out the... There's a bar holding the elevator. He kicks it out and does the Darth Maul pose.
That's cool.
Did you know what line he dies to?
Yeah.
You know what happens to a Toad when it gets struck by lightning?
The same thing
as everything else.
You know who wrote that line?
No.
Joss Whedon.
Did That's he? Why it was awesome.
No, that Joss Whedon hates that line.
Really?
Yeah, I love that line. Because he says that he wrote it differently line. Than the actor delivered it. He says that the way the actor delivered it, he didn't even give names. He goes, that line was
you
not
mean Halle Berry?
You mean Halle Berry?
but he didn't say Halle Berry.
What is that
That's
accent?
Like you guys saying, my friend who put a thing on it. Oh, the classic NES but on
my,
that.
No, my point is that he was like, that line wasn't delivered the way I wanted it to be delivered.
In his head, it was different.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
All right, so number twos. Do you want to even say that one, number two?
So number two is Lando, Obi-Wan, overrated, and General Grievous.
I was just about to apologize for shouting. So never mind.
I don't care. Your shouting didn't hurt me. It's your pick hurts me way more than your shitty yelling.
Your ignorance hurts the world.
Oh, my God.
Hey, David, what's your number one?
Hey, wait, hang on.
Yeah, honorable mentions. Premature.
Recording video to see near
premature recordation.
Sorry,
I put Boba mentions by the way. Boba
mentions.
I'm already writing that down. All right, go ahead. Honorable mentions.
Go ahead.
Honorable mentions.
I'll go on Facebook.
Well, actually, I had two people text me honorable mentions. My Uncle Lewis texted me.
Are you going to say your Uncle Luke?
he texted me face down, ass up. That's the way we like to fuck.
R2-D2, Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan, and Yoda. And my cousin Lewis, who you're familiar with, Neri.
Now, which part of Qui-Gon's on that mountain?
I guess he can only count one half. Rey, Yoda, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Darth Maul.
That's how jokes are done, Stephen.
Baddest man to ever handle a lightsaber.
Ooh.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Ooh. Shots fired. Rey, Yoda, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Darth Maul.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he said baddest man to ever handle
a lightsaber.
No, that's a weak argument considering he lost.
The only fight
that we saw him in.
Good point. Right. Fair argument.
The baddest man until he got let.
Until he died.
Until he died.
I have a couple friends of mine that actually texted me.
There's a bit of a hole in that argument.
Yeah.
You see that, Stephanie? Back to back. That's how it's done.
From 4-1, Lando, Grand Moff Tarkin, Finn and Chewbacca.
Whose list
one.
Was that?
My buddy James.
Okay.
My friend Will has, in no particular. Oh, from least to best, he has Boba Fett, Lando, Chewie, and Obi-Wan.
On that mountain.
So our Facebook. Are we gonna read the ones that have nothing to do with the cinematic universe?
No.
Okay. Because a lot of people, thank you for contributing, but you put
books,
characters that are in the game, video games.
Even though books. Post clearly says movies.
Well, like Will Watkins, I'll give you Wedge Antilles because he was in the he's bigger in the books, but
Wedge is an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, he's in the movies.
I love those fries.
I'm a waffle fry man myself.
Oh, I was just about to say they got nothing on the waffle fry.
Ricky Cruz has Chewie. Ricky has Chewie, C-3PO, R2, and Obi-Wan, so he split up C-3PO and R2.
See? Unnecessary, but okay.
Our friend Daniel Hernandez has Yoda, Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, and Chewie.
Don't read Rebels.
Joe Newcomer has another beautiful picture mountain of all Jar Jar Binks. Carlos, he has from 4-1, Darth Maul, change to Mace Windu. That's three.
I'm going to say that he probably had another Sith in there because Neri said that he was very dark side.
Yeah. So Mace Windu in the new one, Obi-Wan and Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious is number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony Esposito has Kirk, Spock, Picard, and Twiggy.
Best mountain ever.
Who the fuck puts Twiggy in any mountain? That's the shit.
Do we justify Rules list or no?
Go ahead.
Okay, no, he has MSC 6 Series repair droid. He has Jack Porkins. I'll give him Porkins.
Yes.
I love Porkins.
I put up a meme of the...
That's so funny.
The Star Wars helmet. And no wonder they can't shoot straight.
They can't see a fucking thing, man.
He has Porkins, which I'll give him Porkins.
Yeah.
He has Han Solo's Tauntaun. He has Salacious B. Crumb.
Oh, fucking Salacious B. Crumb is awesome.
Sounds like a stripper.
Yeah.
Salacious
Sounds more like a Harry like a Potter.
Honorable mention,
he looks like a Harry Potter character, too.
Droid, Imperial Probe Droid, Bosk, Space Slug, and Red Leader. Stay on target always. Stephanie Ulloa, 6 minutes ago. Hey,
she told me she wasn't going to do one.
To the microphone.
Oh, well, Stephanie Ulloa put of the from Mamas 4-1. Yeah, from Mamas and Malo podcast that you can find on the Geek Bro Network, .net, and Acast.
Yeah, if they're listening to us, they're already listening to them.
Okay.
We got to be promoted on their site.
Right, that's true. Yeah. So she has Maz Kanata, the new Yoda.
Right.
She's got Obi-Wan, Yoda, OG Badass. Oh, she says Obi-Wan, especially Ewan McGregor. Mm-hmm. And one, she has Rey until proven otherwise as a Skywalker.
Right.
Confirmed.
And that's everybody.
And that's why I didn't put her on my mountain.
That's why I didn't put her on.
Okay.
Due to unknown origins.
Right. Well, we said that was fair game.
Yeah, we did. I just decided to leave it off.
My honorable mentions are Emperor Palpatine, Darth Maul, and the Ewoks.
My honorable mentions are Grand Moff Tarkin, the Ewoks, Rey, and Jango Fett. Because nice. Jango Fett fought a Jedi one-on-one.
And lost.
And...
He fought a Jedi Master.
He stayed alive.
He fought a Jedi Master.
He fought a Jedi one-on-one. Not to mention, he's the prototype for the entire clone army and the Stormtroopers.
He fought a Jedi Master, and fucking stayed alive. And then he fought another one and was holding his own, you know, until he wasn't.
Until he let it go to his head.
I've got 3PO and R2.
Oh, and I have to say Admiral Akbar just because he's my favorite character ever.
That's a wrap. It's a frap. That meme is the best.
Took a crap. I've got 3PO and R2. That counts as one. I've got Qui-Gon Jinn. I've got Emperor Palpatine, Wedge Antilles, and Salacious B. Crumb.
I have the Fett. The good one, and I have
Nancy Fett.
Don't go out without your helmet. I broke even again. Yeah, I'm the winner. Don't forget to get the bounty before you come home. Reload your blaster before you leave. Remember, aim down the sights. You're not good at that.
Sorry, continue, Neri.
That's sure. Awesome.
And,
so Nancy Fett.
And Nancy Fett. And the Ewoks. Yeah. That's it. Those are my honorable mentions.
Good honorable mentions.
Sorry, I'm talking too much.
Okay, well, my number one.
Wait. Hold
on. I got a video. I'm going to videotape this and post this on.
Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. My number one is Boba Fett.
What a fucking joke of a pig.
Why?
The most over fucking rated character. He's over fucking rated. His Jenga is the fucking man. That's the one you should have fucking put.
Jenga?
Jenga. Jenga, whatever the fuck.
Jenga. You don't even know his fucking name.
The board game bounty hunter.
Yeah.
he kills one by one the squares. The fucking.
I feel like Jenga is always falling over himself.
I feel Boba Fett is the most overrated piece of shit. He has a cool fucking costume. He has a cool outfit, and everybody fucking goes gaga over that shit, and that's fine. But he's, as a character from the movies, not from the books or the fucking extended universe, blah, blah, blah. All that bullshit. From the movies, he's a completely fucking overrated character.
And that is fine if you want to ignore everything that happens in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
The Empire
the
does not...
The weakest of the series.
Okay.
Weaker than episode one.
Okay, just go fuck yourself. Yeah. Okay?
Weaker than episode one.
There is no Empire Strikes Back without him.
Oh, that'd be even better.
They don't find...
That'd be even better.
All right, so the story ends. The whole story ends. No. And you don't get to your shitty fucking Ewoks.
Yeah, my shitty Ewoks that saved the fucking... That saved the rebellion. All right. Sure.
Bro.
The Ewoks did way more than fucking Boba Fett ever fucking did. Boba Fett was living in the shadow of his father, and he never fucking lived up to expectations. He's a fucking loser, man. Whatever.
Leia's
in the fucking pit.
Disney
he goes
princess.
Down the fucking pit like a little bitch.
I would say Rey.
He's like, yeah. He's like the Rocketeer. Can't even control his backpack. And he fucking falls in the pit. Fuck him. But go ahead. Tell me about your pick.
Jason voted for Trump, and I still hate you more.
Wow.
Whatever. Go ahead.
You're so fucking stupid. I don't even know where the fuck to start.
Make Star Wars great again.
I don't even know where the fuck to start.
Tweet me and I'll retweet you.
Make sure to put a wine selection.
I'll put a wine.
bro, without Boba Fett, they don't find Han, Luke, or Han and Leia, and subsequently don't get to Luke.
Okay.
I didn't say
he didn't do anything. I said
he's overrated.
I said he's overrated.
If he's overrated, then that means that he didn't do anything to deserve the fucking prize.
No, I said he's overrated, not that he doesn't do shit. There's a difference. I don't know if you fucking know this. I don't know if your pea mind body can fucking break and understand this, right? There's a difference between overrated and not good. There's a difference between useless and overrated. I didn't say he was bad. I said he's overrated. However much rated he is, it's rated higher than he should be. Didn't say that he didn't do anything. I never said he didn't do anything. I never said that he didn't accomplish anything. I did say that he didn't accomplish as much as his father did. That's a fucking fact. Alright?
What did his father accomplish?
He went toe-to-toe with a fucking Jedi and lived with a master fucking Jedi and lived, and then went another fucking toe-to-toe with another master Jedi. That one didn't end so well. But still, he went toe-to-toe with fucking Obi-Wan, one of the greatest Jedi masters of all time, and fucking lived. You gonna tell me what the fuck this guy couldn't even control his backpack and he fell in the fucking pit.
Hey guys,
his backpack had been cut by a fucking lightsaber.
Hey, don't forget he also fathered Boba Fett.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not all winners.
It's not really.
I was waiting for it. His jetpack had been cut by a lightsaber.
Into a Patriot dish. He didn't even fucking.
His jetpack was cut by a lightsaber.
Okay. Okay, again, I didn't say that Boba didn't do anything. I said he's overrated. That he's not as good as everybody gives him credit for. I didn't say that he never did anything. I didn't say that he didn't do anything worthwhile or do anything that moved the story along.
Listen, it is really easy to just write him off as a cool-looking character and forget all the other stuff that he did.
No, I think that he gets the attention, the over-attention that he gets is because of his costume. I never said that his costume is the only cool thing about him or that the only thing that he ever accomplished. I'm saying that he gets the attention that he gets based upon his costume. Did he do more? Sure. In part 4, in episode 4, he did nothing. Right?
Because he's not in it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's wrong. I'm gonna fucking get in there. And then in episode 5, he did the fucking...
Well, you know what? The Ewoks sucked in part 4 and 5.
No, they
were fucking terrible.
They were getting shit ready. They were getting shit ready to save the fucking... save the rebellion.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they were doing in parts 4 and 5.
They weren't fucking eating each other because they're fucking cannibals. You don't know.
They were having an Ewok Christmas.
But he loves them so much. They're only an honorable mention.
Yeah. They're fine. They're still honorable.
Brother, the entire Empire looking.
You're not my brother if you pick Boba Fett. You're not my fucking brother. Don't call me brother.
Okay.
Like, everybody's like, whoa.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right.
I peed a little.
Yeah. A little pee-pee came out.
can I call you a friend?
I think
an acquaintance?
If you must. For the rest of this episode, if you must.
I think you genuinely hurt him.
Listen.
You've hurt his feelings.
Listen.
Friend.
Fellow human.
Don't call me fellow human, pal.
A guy. Hey, guy.
Here, guy.
Listen here, guy.
Don't call me guy, friend.
Buddy.
All right, listen, friend, you.
Don't call me guy, pal.
Listen, you.
Why okay? didn't you go with that fucking... We're all going with it, and you fucking left that one out. Now I look like an asshole. If you would have gone with it, with the joke, it would have been so much funnier.
Well, it's not my fault that people interpret what the fuck you are. All right?
What?
Listen.
It is actually your fault.
Listen, if you would have gone with the joke... His brain.
My brain's broken.
I know.
Listen, man.
It's
the
not
entire...
my fault that the things that you do make you the cats cats think of the elephants. Titty Listen, sprinkle.
The whole fucking what? Empire. The whole fucking empire is looking for
York,
these three
that?
Guys, and no one can find them except for fucking Boba Fett.
You guys are looking.
Boba Fett found the two Utes.
What was that word you used?
I'm sorry. A Ute? What?
Oh shit. Utes, you know Utes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two Utes.
No other character can talk back to Vader and live.
No.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Thank you.
Grand Moff Tarkin doesn't talk back to Vader.
But he could.
He could, but he doesn't.
But that's not what you said. You didn't say the only. You said no other a character could. Yes,
okay, so
could.
You're right. Let me rephrase that.
And
no other.
Emperor Palpatine.
And Palpatine. Palpatine.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I'm just saying, it's not come just on. Him.
All right, so Palpatine and Boba Fett are the only Raul. Characters.
I'm going to say something controversial.
Okay. Come on, Raul.
I love Star Wars.
Okay. Thank you. That's extremely controversial.
Star Wars is a great movie series.
Yeah. Boba Fett is the only character other than Palpatine, who is obviously above him, who talks back to Vader and doesn't get his ass handed to him.
You move too much. You keep getting out of focus.
In fact, Vader tells him, like, don't worry, you're going to be compensated.
Okay.
That is how scary Boba Fett is, that Vader is not only willing to,
Vader
to
was
forget.
Just, Vader was just draining the swamp. Yeah, you see all these parallels?
Yeah, but he was on Bisping when that happened.
So nothing. Nothing Bisping? About the way that Vader respects him.
I don't.
Nothing
I
about how smart Boba fighter. Fett is that he is the only person in the entire galaxy who is able to track down Han Solo.
Okay, that's fine. I think
literally the entire galaxy.
Okay.
All of the Empire.
Raising hand.
One
raising
guy,
hand,
Boba
raising
Fett.
Hand. They found Han Solo in Jabba's palace, and it wasn't Boba Fett. It was Leia and
he
Lando.
Had already been fucking found by Boba Fett. What type of
they
rescued him, they
couldn't find him. You said nobody else could find him.
No. It's not that they couldn't find him. They knew where he was.
Oh, that's true.
They were planning for 3 years how
right.
to get in there and get him
you're
out
right.
of
life. Listen, I give credit to the whole finding him because he's a bounty hunter. That's your fucking job. You want praise for doing your job? Give me a fucking break. This is America. We fucking do our jobs in this country. No, but seriously, he did his job. I'm not saying he again. You're missing the question. The whole Vader thing. You lose me with that because I don't respect Vader as a villain because he's not because he turns and he fucking has a soul. So I don't respect him as a villain. So you lose
Which
your
to me makes sense.
And you just lost Christy.
Now here's I will give you this in the films because of the ridiculousness of him falling into the Sarlacc pit because his thing gets fucking cut by Luke and gets knocked over by fucking Han. That's it's so stupid. I absolutely hate that. And I said that I would go into the books if a character was in the movies. In the books, that is totally redeemed. Totally redeemed. And I know you haven't read the books. I know you haven't read the comics. But he comes back from that, and he's even more badass than before.
Like his dad, finally?
I'm just going to say this. When I hear the name Fett, Django never... What the fuck is that?
You're just like your father. You're doing so good, my special boy. My little Fett.
I hear the name Fett, and I never, ever think of Django. I always think of Boba.
Do you think of Jenga?
Yeah,
Sometimes I think of Jenga.
I will say
but
this.
But he's fucking awesome.
You know what's great about the Sarlacc pit thing, though? Because it gave us the it gave us the robot chicken where he's inside the Sarlacc pit. You saw the Star Wars thing, those are amazing.
How he escapes the Sarlacc pit, and I know you're not interested in the books, but that trilogy of him escaping the Sarlacc pit and how he basically comes back from the fucking dead is incredible. Fucking awesome. And all the stories, the Dark Empire series of comic books where he has
is
to
that
track
still
these.
Canon?
Yeah, that's not canon.
It's Legacy.
Anymore.
It's called considered
it's called
Legacy.
Legends.
No.
Legends is. I think it's Legends. Is it Legacy? It might be Legacy. I think it's Legends. Basically, it exists in a limbo state where it is and isn't canon until something in the movie contradicts it. Or it is canon when they decide to pull from it and use it in the films. So it's a weird sort of existence, what's going
it's
on.
It's a
in
weird
the old,
have your cake and eat it too kind of.
Yeah, well, that's what they want.
All right.
That's what they want.
I'm just going by the movies. He's a great bounty hunter.
Truthfully, I understand
it's
where you're
Legends.
Coming. Legends, yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from. I know that.
Wait. Jeff, say you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay. It's Legends.
All right.
I
got flack for not saying the words I'm wrong. So therefore, I think we should all say it.
Okay, I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
I will give you. He is an underutilized character because he is so badass that he could have been used in Return of the Jedi in a much better way than just a one off fall into the fucking Sarlacc pit.
He does more in Star Tours.
It doesn't make a difference because even if he came back in Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks would have fucking taken.
He complains about people talking over jokes and he fucking kills
which
them.
Is ridiculous to me. You're probably right. It was fucking ridiculous to me.
God damn it.
But anyway, I've enjoyed this argument.
We get it. We heard the joke.
Who's your number one, Jeff?
Now Jeez. I feel better now.
Right.
No, because you complain about people talking over you.
We were in the middle of a sentence. You came into the middle of the joke. I'm sorry.
Hey, I love you. God damn it. You're supposed to say I know. I set it up for you.
Shit. Fucking guy.
What's your number one, Jeff?
Oh, so that's it? We're done?
You guys
done arguing? Okay. My number one.
Wait, hang on, Jason. You didn't say anything about Boba Fett.
You're
he was your number two.
Oh, what would you like for me to say after all of that?
Ditto.
Me too, guys.
Indeed.
Are you going to say anything or no?
What else can I possibly
I
say?
Know. Okay, cool. All right. My number one is who I believe I consider them to have contributed the most in the cinematic universe to the story and the development of everything, and it's Palpatine / Darth Sidious.
It's a great.
He's my number one.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was between him and Obi-Wan.
I mean,
between him and General Grievous. To be honest with you, I'm being honest.
We can. You can start from the beginning.
The real villain of that fucking of the whole series. I'm being honest. I think he's the real.
Oh,
villain.
Palpatine. Yeah.
Yeah, Palpatine is the real.
Palpatine is the one that created the Empire. Palpatine, he was a Sith, or he wasn't considered a Sith. He was a Darth, because they didn't
call dark Jedi's, but
dark Jedi.
Yeah.
He was a dark Jedi that hid in plain sight, surrounded by Jedi masters, and he hid himself from that, so they didn't realize that he was a dark Jedi. Became a senator, was able to convince, and I could argue that Jar Jar Binks does have an important role in the universe because he makes him a senator. Gets him to become a senator and convinces him he's the deciding vote to make him Supreme Chancellor.
Right.
So it goes from a democracy to a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And then that's when
on Jar Jar Binks's.
Yeah. He creates the clone army. Mm-hmm. And then executes.
Jar Jar Binks was the Ohio of Electoral College.
He convinces Anakin that the Jedi are actually out to harm everybody.
Right.
He turns him to the dark side by having him kill Dooku. And behead him. He executes Order 66, killing all the Jedi except for a handful that are the ones that escaped. He's responsible for all that. He, like I said, creates the Empire.
Creates Vader.
Well, yeah, he makes Anakin fall and turns him into what becomes Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. You know, he. Then and you go into the future ones. He's still Vader's. If you really look at Vader's, his puppet.
Vader's
his puppet throughout the entire movie. All three of the original.
Which is why I don't believe Vader to be a strong villain.
And
because
he's being
manipulated. He's a weapon more so than a villain.
Well, yeah, but he's still a bad guy.
Okay, but he's not a true villain.
He's not. Listen, he's not motivated by the same thing that Palpatine is, but he does atrocious things.
Oh no, absolutely, just like a weapon does.
Right.
I control a weapon.
I'll give you a gun.
I have a gun. I kill kids.
But he's
with that gun. That gun did awful things, but I'm the one controlling that gun.
He's the much more present villain.
Right.
I think that's, and I didn't do a good job of explaining that last time. That is my point with him. But and this is something that I didn't even realize until the last time I saw the prequel trilogy, that the only reason why Anakin turns to the dark side of this, obviously, you know, is because...
Spoiler alert.
Is because... sorry! Is because he thinks that Padme and his children, his child, has died. Right? Because he didn't know they were twins.
Right.
Right? That's why he finally gives in
Which
to the dark
really
side.
Which is a really shitty fucking Jedi, if you think about it. Both of them have fucking Jedi, right? Both of the embryos, both of the babies. You could read the fucking force in the belly, right? That's theoretically speaking, he could do that.
That happens in the books.
Right.
That's yeah.
There's a life force.
Right.
You could read the life force. You couldn't read two different heartbeats. Shitty fucking Jedi.
It's bad writing is what it is. But when he realizes that Luke is his son, because he has no idea who Luke is in A New Hope.
Right.
He has no idea even who the pilot that shot the missile that killed the Death Star was, right? You find out in the new comics that he sends Boba Fett to figure out who the fuck it was. And Boba Fett figures out that it was Luke Skywalker. That's when he finds out who the fuck it was. So when the Emperor tells him, and there's very little reaction from Vader in Empire Strikes Back, is because he already knew.
Right.
Which I thought was a cool little retcon that they did. And then all of Empire Strikes Back is him basically already deciding, fuck the Emperor. He's lied to me. And you and I are gonna do this.
Right.
He still hasn't turned to the light side yet. I think he's so tainted by the dark side, but still, the driving force for him is his family.
But then, even then, in Jedi, he's still lit at the beck and call of the Emperor. It's up until halfway through the fight.
Because it's so ingrained in
right.
him.
And the thing is that I can even go first.
How
step.
Cool would fucking Vader look all in white? I think that would be badass.
You've never seen that?
No.
There's cosplay. Yeah, there's cosplay with
it. Ah, that's...
Well, okay.
Well,
who pays attention to cosplay?
COSPLAYFAME. So, and then I can even go a step further. In episode 8, in episode 7, his legacy is still there. It's still present. Now, in the First Order, you have Snoke, who's the Sidious character. You've got Kylo Ren.
Well, we don't know if he's Darth Sidious.
Well, the Sidious character, because it's the
Sith Lord.
The Sith Lord.
Yeah.
That's
with that, Kylo Ren as the apprentice.
Kylo Ren as the Vader apprentice.
This yeah. is the best.
The picture?
Pimp Vader.
It's a Pimp Vader.
White, then, but he's white.
Yeah.
Because if it was black, that'd be
and you've got,
well, of course.
And you've got what's
the fuzzy hat? That's awesome.
What's this guy's name that he the admiral now?
General Hux.
Hux.
Yeah, he's the Tarkin.
So you've got the Tarkin.
You've got the same dynamic
you've got
again.
The same dynamic again because they realized it was working for
right.
years when the Empire, and they kept the same beliefs and the same system in place. So even far stretching his death.
Yeah.
Or his alleged death at the hands of Vader, his legacy spanned all the films.
Oh, yeah. This is as much his story as it is Luke's story.
Right.
Or as it is Vader's story.
Right.
If you read the Thrawn trilogy, I know you and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I need to read it.
Thrawn...
I just, every time you heard him, when you said the story, I was like, this is the story of a girl.
Cried a river and drowned the whole world. When she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles.
And that's the sound that you will hear at the end of the episode.
No, in
like three weird
in,
songs
in the Thrawn
through.
Trilogy, Thrawn says that, and this is a really cool revelation of the book, and I hate to take this away from you, but it's so important to what we're talking about. He talks about how, this is early in the book, by the way,
uh-huh.
In the first book. He talks about how together the Empire was, that it functioned like a well-oiled machine. And the reason why is because Palpatine was using the Force to control whole fleets.
Right, yeah.
Whole soldiers.
I knew about
all
that,
at
yeah.
the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have coordinated attacks on this planet and that planet and this fleet out here and this place over
yeah.
here. And it was all going on at the same time, and it was also coordinated, and the Republic couldn't keep up
mm-hmm.
because he was controlling everything.
Yeah.
And so Thrawn understands this because he was so close with the Emperor. And so the first thing that he does is he finds a dark Jedi to basically play that emperor role, and he ends up becoming a villain for Thrawn.
Okay.
In the series, so there's a villain for a villain, and then both of those villains are against the New Republic, which is why it's so fucking awesome. But that idea that the emperor is more than just that guy who comes in at the end of Return of the Jedi,
yeah,
is fucking awesome.
Yep.
Which the prequels, that is my favorite thing about the prequels. It's not seeing Vader's story.
It's the development of Palpatine.
It's the development of Palpatine that I find most interesting about the prequels.
And the thing is, he went toe-to-toe with multiple masters.
Yoda.
And Mace Windu. And the thing is, with the Mace Windu that we were just watching, he kind of pulled back on there because he wanted Anakin to be involved in it.
Yeah.
So he did that on purpose. He could have probably easily dispatched Windu.
That was the big moment for Anakin.
That was Anakin's big turn. He was like, look, the Jedi are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
You know? So I think far-reaching in the cinematic universe, one of the most important character to me is Palpatine/Darth Sidious.
I don't even think that's an opinion.
No, it's just fact.
That's just fact. He's pretty much the most important person as far as the dark side.
There is no one you hope if you don't have him.
Yeah.
What empire are you going to fight?
Right. So that's my number one.
Fantastic pick. All right.
My number one's Obi-Wan.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can talk about him now too.
Yeah, I mean, just... I mean,
great father. No, I'm just kidding. We had this whole argument or debate.
Bless you, Nary.
I mean, starting from the prequels, where you see where he starts training Anakin all the way through to New Hope, where he even picks up and starts training a little, like against his will, he starts training Luke. Like at first, he just kind of, you know,
it's only because it's a promise to Qui-Gon at first.
Well, the Anakin.
Luke.
No,
when he
starts training Luke, it's kind of like against his will. Like he's already like, you know, that's it. I'm out of it. You know,
I'm out the game, son.
I'm out this.
But once they go back and see that, you know, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru are dead, then he's kind of like, well, he's got nothing left. So I might as well, you know, just take him under my wing.
I'll be like dark meat.
I mean, he knows where Luke came from, and I think maybe he draws like a parallel and sees like he could fall down the same like dark rabbit hole that Vader fell down after having such a terrible thing happen to like what's left of his family, and so I think that's where he like picks up wanting to take Luke under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is how he doesn't remember R2. When he's like, I don't remember.
That's one of the few things it really isn't that many things that.
But they're key.
The
things.
Fact that there's even one thing,
but they're key things. They're key.
But yeah,
things.
But that is one of the key things that you can't rectify between the prequels and the original series.
It's like R2's been there the entire time, and then when he sees R2, he's like, "Well, I don't believe I've ever owned. I mean, maybe he's like, I've ever owned an R2 unit like this." And he's like, yeah, well, maybe he didn't own R2-D2 before and anything like that. But
well, it's been years, though. I mean, and there are other R2 units.
Yeah, but he doesn't even recognize R2.
He doesn't even recognize him at all.
Like that's it's just a glaring fucking oversight.
Well, because he was my number two. Obi-Wan was my number two on my list.
He was my number three.
What I love in the
or number four. Yoda he was my number was four. Number.
Yeah.
No.
Oh no, I took him off. He was my number four. I took him off because I thought of him as a main character, and I couldn't justify putting him on my list because of the parameters I set for myself.
See,
and you'd be right if you include the sequels, the prequels. But the original trilogy, he's not a main character.
Right. Well, since the prequels, the stories has been told, it's done. I figured he's a main character.
You get to see the development of Obi-Wan starting in Phantom Menace as a Padawan still.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, Qui-Gon dies, and then he has to become now a master to Anakin.
Right.
And then you see him in the next one, he's General Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And he's fighting in the Clone Wars. He's going toe-to-toe with Grievous. He beats Grievous. He finished off Darth Maul.
Yeah,
on his own after he killed Qui-Gon. So he's a skilled fighter. He's an amazing warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Incredible pilot.
He, which is why Ray's his granddaughter. And then, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's not like Luke was a great pilot, either, you know.
But, and then, you know, and he at Revenge of the Sith. So he loses his master and then loses his apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
In the first three movies, and they're in the prequels, he loses his apprentice, and then
in the movies, and I know you guys have more to go on because of the books, but in the movies, there's nobody that goes through more loss than Obi. Like, he just has to loses his master, gains an apprentice, loses that apprentice. Because of the ties that he had with his master, he fucking then follows the child of that apprentice that he lost.
Well, and then if you go off of the...
And he feels... He felt that he killed him, right?
Loses Satine, too.
Well, oh, yes, yeah. It was Satine in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Satan?
But no, yeah, he's the one that takes Luke to Aunt Uncle Ben and Aunt Beru. He's like,
but he thinks Vader's dead, though. He thinks he left him, right?
He just assumed
that he was gonna die. Did he know when he took the twins? When he took Luke, did he know that Vader was still alive?
I
think he didn't want to deliver the killing blow.
Yeah.
But knew that he would die.
Yeah.
And then of course Palpatine feels comes.
Right. Right. No, I get that, but yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, when he took Luke, did he imagine in his mind, did he think that Vader was dead? I thought that's what he thought. I thought he left her for dead, and then he thought he's dead.
I think that initially they're trying to protect Luke and Leia from Palpatine,
right?
Not from Vader.
Correct.
And it ends up being that, you know, they have to protect him from both.
Well, and then fast forward to A New Hope. And he gives the deadliest weapon in the galaxy to a kid who then points it into his own eye. You know, but
take care of that. It's killed many children.
Yeah, a lot of kids got killed by that. And then he, you know, he gives him, like we talked about before, he starts helping him with his combat training and a little bit in the Force because he's using, you know, the blindfold and the targeting droid. You know, and then he sacrifices himself on purpose. He's lived this entire life as a hermit on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. Sacrifices
his entire life. Nightlife was different.
Well, that's her nightlife. There's a different life for Obi-Wan. Him and Lando got to party, and then he sacrifices himself. You know, in the fight with Vader. And he does it on purpose.
Does he sacrifice himself, or does he just become one with the Force at that point?
So here's one of the things that I think
he puts his turns off his saber. Away.
Yeah.
Here's one of the things that I loved about the prequel trilogy is they never really explain how it is that like Vader like fucking cuts him down and then he disappears, right? But in Episode 3. At the very end of the movie, Yoda comes and tells him, your last mission is out here. You have to look over the boy, but you have a lot of training to do. And there's an old friend who has learned how to reach through the Force. And he's going to train you. And they don't mention Qui-Gon by name. But you know that it's that Qui-Gon has found a way to be one with the Force and is going to teach him. So for me, that's like one of the coolest fucking things that he not only spends the next 20 years of his life watching over Luke, which, I mean, he was a young man, you know, when this shit happens. He could have said, like, listen, the Jedi Order is fucking done. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But he didn't. Right? He said, no, I am dedicated to this. He is, in my opinion, the most dedicated Jedi.
He even in solitude, he would, you know, He reached out. He helped him with when he was doing the trench run.
That was who led you to believe that it was Obi-Wan, that it was Qui-Gon.
Yeah, Qui-Gon was the one who was training him how to become one with the Force.
I thought it was Maz. No, nothing.
That's not a bad theory.
Yeah, it's not a bad theory. It's not a bad theory. She wasn't around at the time that was created.
No, she was around for hundreds of years.
No, I mean the character wasn't.
Right.
But that could be inserted, you know, after the fact. I would love that because I loved your character.
I'd probably put her as another honorable mention because I do love Moss. But then, you know, he helps.
I like the fact that I said that as a complete joke, and then you guys are like,
"No, man, yeah, that's a really interesting thought."
The trench run, he helps him. He helps him. Reaches out in on Hoth when he's dying in the snow.
Yeah,
he's like, "You need to find Yoda."
Yeah.
And then
I love that because it's so like mystical. Like, you will go to Dagobah.
Yeah,
you will find Yoda. It's like, what the fuck are these words?
Yeah,
what the fuck are you saying? I love you. You talk about, you know,
this guy talking. The first time we heard him, this guy talking, like, is that Jeff typing? What the fuck is happening?
I think you mentioned there's no character who experiences loss more than him.
No, he didn't.
You mentioned that. Somehow, even though he's been through all this, he manages to separate Anakin from Vader. Because when he's talking to Luke and he's talking to him about his father, you can tell that he genuinely loves Anakin and still loves Anakin. I don't know that anyone else in the entire galaxy can speak that way about Vader. I don't know that anyone can, but he talks about him with such love.
It's almost as if when he was talking about Anakin, the backstory of him becoming Vader wasn't written yet. It's almost as if that's what happened.
Oh, no! I mean, looking at it retrospectively, of course. I absolutely love that. I love that, and I love...
I think that's one of those things that... One of those like mistakes that right when he wrote it, In Empire Strikes Back, he was like, "Hey, this worked out pretty well."
Yeah,
this worked out pretty well.
Yeah,
yeah. Because remember how you were talking about? Yeah, it's two different people. Oh, two different people.
Well, it's got to be an inside joke, or not such an inside joke. In Return of the Jedi, when he returns to Dagobah, and he says, "You told me he killed my father." And he says, "Well, what I told you was true from a certain point of view."
Yeah.
So, and fucking Alec Guinness is so awesome. And Ewan McGregor does a fantastic job.
And his fine ass.
Oh, did it start tonight?
Epcot finally started. They turned the Epcot ball into the Death Star.
Is it only going to be for a few hours, I said?
Because it's going to be digital. So I guess they're just going to have...
Or is it a few hours a day?
Probably at night. I'm guessing at night they're going to just do...
I'm assuming it's got to be at night.
That'd be dope.
Dude, it's an awesome fucking pick. If I didn't consider him to be a main character, I would have put him on my mountain as well.
All right. So we have...
What's your number one?
All right. And my number one is Ray Ray from Little Shot Town.
Awesome.
Shot Town Ray Ray.
What? Ray Ray.
Ray.
What it do, girl?
Ray to me. And again, because she came at a time where I was falling in love with Star Wars for the first time. Not the first time I saw it, not the first time I watched them, but the first time I fell in love with this universe. I was in that time frame, so I was out a very romantic period where everything was cool, like everything was becoming.
Yeah.
But I saw Rey, and maybe because of that, you know, added to the fact that I have a daughter that I'm very attached to, that I'm very, you know, do anything you want and be whatever, like, and I want her to, you know that it's not gender or whatever. But that movie was fucking awesome for little girls. I saw that movie, just the line of her, like, "I could run faster if you don't hold my fucking hand."
Yeah,
you know,
that was fucking awesome.
Awesome. I thought that was an amazing. I'm like, yeah, get it.
She is the strongest and most independent character in the entire series.
When she showed, and she did it time and time again, showed how strong and how independent of a character she is. I really, the only thing that would have made it better if they would have played Spice World behind her. Because everybody's like, girl power, man. Like, I did. I fucking love that. I fell in love with the character of Rey watching it. I don't want to say through my daughter's eyes, because my daughter didn't watch it with me when I first saw it, but I was watching
with her in mind.
With her in mind.
Yeah, right.
I was watching it with her in mind. And this is the first, Force Awakens was the first movie that I saw, the first Star Wars movie that I saw after I was a father. Because the previous ones, I had, my kids weren't born yet. So I was watching it, you know, with me in mind, I guess, whatever. But watching it with my daughter in mind, and watching it with that sense of like, oh, and she's a badass. She's smart. She doesn't lack humor. She's funny. She's kind.
Yeah.
The way she stood up for BB-8. The way she stood up for BB-8, well, she didn't have to. She didn't know that fucking droid. There was somebody trying to take him. Fucking, she could have very easily just been like, all right. But she ran towards him. And to set him free, and then
allows him to tag along.
Yeah, allows him to tag along. She gets offered 75 units, and you know, she's like, "No, you know, I'll fucking starve, I guess, whatever. She could have very easily been like, mm.
Yeah.
But the fact that she
and she considers it.
And she did.
Yeah, so it wasn't like it was a knee-jerk reaction. Well, no, I'm not. No, she was like, I got to think about this for a second.
Yeah. And that's why, again, going to BBA, that's why I love BBA, because she looked at BBA, and BBA gave her that, like, it was like that sad eyes, like, and it was like, oh, no. You know
and, then,
what I mean?
And then he gets so excited when she says, all right, well, come along.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, because this was brought up, I was talking to my cousin today, and I didn't know about this whole thing. Apparently, there's people out there that say it's like the Susie Q theory, that she's too good at everything. And they don't like her character because she's too good at everything. I'm not one of these people. I love Ray.
I've never heard of that.
I didn't
hear
until
that would be the equivalent of saying I hate Superman because he's good at everything.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, well, now she can fly. Oh, now she suddenly knows how to use the Force. Oh, now she knows how to fight with a lightsaber.
She can fly?
Well, the Millennium Falcon. She was flying it like she knew all along.
She could pilot. Okay,
sorry.
No,
but she has
no. In the Star Wars universe is not impossible. So I'm like, what?
Unless
what
you're Boba Fett, you then can, you fall right you into can, the pit.
I mean, at least I got this from the film that she.
you hear that laugh? I'm gonna fucking cut you.
I got the impression from the movie that she, in her adventures out in Jakku, she had to learn how to do all these things to survive. So she had to learn how to pilot ships, and she had to learn how to be a fucking mechanic, and she had to learn how to do all these things just to survive. So
that's how I took it.
Yeah, that's for me.
I think
we did it. Look, that's how I felt about Anakin. Anakin gets inside 5 years old. Gets inside.
And he's never flown.
He's raced pod racing. I mean,
the mechanics are different.
I guess. I mean, that's
you've driven a car. Can you fly a plane?
No, because a plane is a plane.
But I've had that same mentality.
Maybe
I had the same mentality of like when Anakin did it. But with the when I was told, yeah, but that's Anakin. He's like, he's gonna be Vader. He's gonna be a badass. You go, oh, okay, and you just let that go.
Right.
I didn't get that same feeling with Rey. When I saw Rey doing it, it was because she's like what Dave said. She's a survivor. She's been scavenging. She's been living it on her own for I don't know how many fucking marks were on that wall.
Well, and she wasn't a baby when she got dropped off in Jakku.
No, she was young.
She looked like she was maybe Anakin's age or a little older. So she probably there may have been some stuff she learned at that during that time
I'm
frame.
Sure Obi-Wan taught her some things.
but do you
to now, the listener, there's a theory that I put out there that I think Rey is the granddaughter of Obi-Wan, which is apparently dumb to think that. But
the thing to me is like based on what
I
I've
want
seen,
her to be, because I think the whole daughter of Luke is too easy.
It's too on the nose.
It's too fucking easy.
Star Wars is ultimately the story of the Skywalker family. Like, it makes sense.
The thing to me is she has now, after watching episode 1 or episode 7, I'm like, okay, so she, besides Yoda, now she's the most powerful. She's going to become the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy.
There's a scene. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because she learned how to use the Force in no time at all.
We don't know if she was, like, unknowingly.
Yeah, we don't know if she was using
the Force.
Knowing.
Yeah, without knowing
while,
what she was
doing. Stuff around,
like, she could have been doing it to that guy that was taking BB-8, the little monster that was taking BB-8. Right. She's like, get out of here. And he fucking leaves.
Yeah.
Without putting up a fight.
That's true.
We don't know if that's where her incredible pilot abilities come from, is the fact that, you know, she's so strong in the Force
that she
doesn't even realize that she's doing
happen,
these things.
You know?
Because she's doing stuff.
I've never heard of that mentality of like her being too good. I've never heard of that because
I hadn't either.
I didn't feel that way at all. I felt that way with Anakin.
Yeah.
I was like, this fuck, he's a kid. That's why I felt that way. It's because he's fucking 6. Like, he's 7, 8, whatever the fuck. He's a kid. How is he doing all these things? That I felt. With Rey, I feel as if she's 22, 23-ish. So I'm like, I don't feel as if she, you know what I mean? Like, she's Luke's age.
Right.
We weren't surprised when Luke could fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a fucking farmer.
But again, they also hinted at him being able to fly. Throughout the movie,
exactly.
So when he finally,
so it's not unbelievable that she knows how to fly.
Of course, no, it wasn't for me either. But there's, you mentioned, you know, that she's so strong. There's a scene in towards the end of Force Awakens where she's escaped from the holding cell, and a stormtrooper comes up. Actually, it might even be Captain Phasma. I can't remember right now. Comes up to Kylo Ren and says, "We're looking for her. We haven't found her yet." And there is such desperation in his voice. He says, we have to find her. The longer it takes for us to find her, the stronger she gets. You can tell he's fucking terrified of this girl. That she is so strong that she learns on the fucking dime, on the drop of a dime like that.
Yeah,
that to me it felt like the Incredible Hulk in Avengers, where everyone's waiting for fucking Mark Ruffalo to turn into the fucking Hulk, and then he turns into the Hulk, and everyone's like, we got to do something about this right now before this whole fucking helicarrier just gets blown up. Right. That's what I felt like the Hulk had been let loose inside fucking Starkiller base, and everything was just gonna be fucking destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and that's because she's fucking badass. The only thing that
was
destroyed
was your childhood.
That's a great pick, though.
Yeah, awesome pick,
I love Rey, and I know the argument is she may very well be a Skywalker, so that's why a lot of people didn't want to pick her, and a lot of people were hesitant on picking her because there's a lot of unknown. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those that subscribes to, well, if it's not said right now, it's not it. You know.
But also, like what you were saying is like, oh, well, Star Wars is a Skywalker
story,
but why can't it also be that she is the granddaughter of Obi-Wan, like what Neri was saying, and she now gets trained by Luke,
which is still a Skywalker story.
I'm okay with that.
And she goes up against Kylo, which is a Skywalker.
I'm okay with it.
Turns everything because Obi-Wan trained all the Skywalkers,
My motivation for wishing that and hoping that is because it's too easy. And again, if it turns out being that she is a Skywalker, it's just too easy. It's low hanging fruit. You know, it's like amazing. It lessens the capabilities of a twist. I'm already. Looking back now at episode 7, I've heard other people give me their recommendation, their suggestions of what should have happened in the movie, and I agree with them. I loved episode 7 when I first saw it, but the more and more I think about it, the more and more I feel as if it's a copy and paste of previous movies when you could have done something other than...
I agree to an extent, and...
How about this? There's a comedian, Eric Griffin, that has a great theory. He said this would have made the movie better, episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the whole movie, we're searching for Luke. So it's a big, like, fucking... By the time we see Luke, it's no longer a surprise because we fucking know what's happening. There's a big build-up and there's a whole thing. The whole movie's been a big build-up, but now there's an even longer build-up while she's climbing the fucking rocks, right? That whatever. He said Luke should have come out when Kylo was fighting Rey and they were both going for the lightsaber and it was like and fucking shaking in the snow. It should have come to him. Because if that would have happened, if that would have been the first time you've seen Luke, the whole fucking theater would have exploded. It would have been like, oh, shit. And then he saves her.
I wouldn't have liked that because then that takes away the power from Rey.
No, because she's just gone toe-to-toe.
She's just gone toe-to-toe with the fucking...
Her and Finn, I think Finn being able to go toe-to-toe with him took away from her a little bit. Because Finn hasn't shown any force powers. Finn hasn't done anything. She's obviously a powerful force user.
Right.
She's fighting him. Finn comes along, doesn't even know how to turn it on right, and is holding it rudimentary holding it rudimentary compared to how she is.
Right.
And he's still able to hold his own against him. So, but I think that
when I heard that theory, the way it should have gone. Right. I thought that was fantastic.
It doesn't take away from her power.
If that scene with a lightsaber shaking in the snow and it fucking goes to Luke, I would have jizzed my fucking
pants. That's what I thought was going to happen.
There's two things about that where I don't agree.
Yoda should have come out walking slowly.
the first is it didn't make any sense.
Snowball?
Yeah.
The first is it didn't make any sense for Luke to be there.
He doesn't sense that a huge planet had been blown up. Maybe I should go fucking
check that
out.
Or that.
I mean, nothing that has happened has motivated him enough to get out there.
His best friend was just murdered?
Yeah.
Marked.
Nothing has motivated.
Shang.
Kylo Ren kills the entire Jedi Academy, and that doesn't motivate him enough to stop him. Yeah. If nothing has motivated him yet. To me, it makes no reason.
Maybe he just
makes
needed to hear the Rocky song.
Get motivated.
What if he had the same feeling that Obi-Wan did with Luke and why he watched over him?
Or that Leia had.
Right.
Leia, when Hans died, she was like, something's happened.
Yeah.
What if he felt that same way?
I'm sure he did.
Or he felt an awakening of Rey's power. Because remember, there's not a lot of Force users around anymore.
But, right, but again, how does he get to that planet? How does he get to Starkiller Base that quickly?
Uber.
Yeah.
So to me, it doesn't make sense that he would have gotten there in time unless he would have been hiding out on Starkiller Base the entire time. In which case, why the fuck is he there in the first place? To me, that doesn't make sense for that reason. And then the second thing,
a neighboring moon, hyperspace, or some shit, the neighboring moon.
The second thing, called
Plaid.
The second thing is
ludicrous speed.
That's true. The second thing is there. I've read a lot about and seen a lot of the documentaries that have been made about Force Awakens.
Has there been documentaries about Star Wars?
Well, according to Raul, it's the thing that has the most documentaries of all time.
Yeah. The movie in which the most documentaries.
So they talk about how when they were in the writing stages that they brought Luke in various points in the movie, and each time they brought Luke in, the audience lost interest in the other characters.
Okay.
So the reason why they put Luke in the last 30 seconds of the film is because otherwise you wouldn't have cared about the
characters.
I think
it was just too much of a buildup. That last finale, that fucking climbing the hill or whatever.
I agree. That's the time when my ass starts to hurt.
If they would have done it the other way, that Luke shows up, you know, on
Starkiller Base.
You wouldn't have the meme where Rey's handing him the lightsaber and Luke goes, "There was a hand."
Did you bring the hand?
Or the meme that says hide and seek champion. But anyway, that's my pick is Rey. Yeah. I love Rey. I thought she was phenomenal as a character. Again, she came, and I'm very
I consider her to be the main character of Force Awakens, which is why she didn't make my mountain.
Right.
That and, you know, the limbo. Yeah, it's a self-imposed thing for me, but also the limbo state of whether she is a Skywalker.
I'm just writing the I hope she's not a Skywalker.
I hope she is.
Only because it's too easy. That's it. Only because it's too easy.
I hope she's a Fett.
And she's
that would actually bring glory to the name.
Nancy Fett the second.
It's Ray, cold outside. Ray Put Fett. Your mittens on. Put your mittens on.
Ray Fett.
Yeah. All right. So
I found your lightsaber.
So for the final mountain, we got Boba is in there.
Yes.
Jason. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Yoda.
And Yoda.
And then the last one.
R2.
Oh, yeah.
Yoda and R2.
Jason got his perfect mountain.
Nice.
Perfect game. You got a perfect game?
Yeah. You had to pick General Grievous, didn't you?
Boba Fett's on the mountain.
Pick R2?
All I fucking care about.
This is the guy. He's the one.
You even said I was
his fault for picking Boba.
You were looking at Palpatine's video and you said, you know what? Yeah,
who the fuck picks Boba?
And then you went to Grievous. I know.
Perfect game.
You know what? I do agree with you. I think Palpatine is better. I want to call an audible.
You can't call an audible at this point.
Why not?
Because it's
in the rule book. Where's the rule book? Pull it off the fucking book.
You want to call Raul and see what he says?
I should have picked Palpatine.
You even said
I've said that for two episodes now. The Palpatine is the fucking greatest villain.
But then you were like, no, this guy coughs, so I like him.
But he also had
literally
four
the dumbest thing about the character.
He had a cape.
But Jeff, he had a cape.
He had a cape, man.
He had a robe with a hood. Palpatine had a robe with a hood, dog.
He had a saggy turkey neck.
He had a robe with a hood, and he had a chair with a view.
Yeah, bro, that chair.
That view.
It was a recliner. Controlled the TV.
Am I the only one that thinks his forehead looks like a scrotum?
Palpatine?
Yeah.
Hey,
his whole body looks like a
yeah.
No, but specifically, like, you know, it's also
Palpatine, the best character in all of Robot Chicken.
That's true.
Go for Papa Palpatine. You mean what? What the hell's an aluminum falcon?
All right.
You've been traveling in space for 3 years.
The final mountain is Boba, Obi-Wan, Yoda, and R2-D2.
Jason got the perfect game.
Perfect game again.
All right.
So congratulations. Thank you guys for checking us out. No,
I got one.
I lost.
Talking to the mic.
I lost the Tom Hanks perfect.
But didn't you have more? You had more. I thought you and Jeff had the most perfect games.
No, I have the most.
I know you have the most. I thought
you have three?
No,
I have. I think I have like
I think I'm more than
three. Yeah, I think he has more than that. But he had, Jason hasn't been here, so I mean, no, per ratio, ratio to how many episodes he's actually been on, I thought he had more than...
He almost had the Tom Hanks one, but the League of Their Own got switched out.
That would have been my first.
Oh.
This is my first.
For so Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Hey.
Nice.
All right, so thank you for checking us out. Make sure you check us out. Shop. If you're going to shop on Amazon, make sure you shop on Amazon through the Mount Geekmore, I'm sorry, through the Geek Bro website, which is geekbro.net. So you can listen to all the other great podcasts on there, such as Mamas and Merlot and Zero's Bro and Zeros on Hero and What's Good and
COS PLAY FAME
and us as well. And there's Amazon banners all over the place. Make sure you turn off your ad blocker so you can turn on the Amazon banner and shop away like normal, and we get a little bit of a kickback, so we could appreciate that. I want to thank you guys for checking us out. Check out Dave's band at
Naked Vengeance.
Naked Vengeance. At Naked Vengeance.
And their amazing song.
Thank you.
Naked Vengeance. Make sure you guys check that out. And at Nary Signs, at WooBro, at GeekBroNet, which is everything Geek Bro, and you can, it takes you everything from there. So you guys have been great. If you guys want to hear a suggestion for an episode, email us at GeekBro. I'm sorry, GeekMore. GeekMore Pod? Or Geek...
It's your world, bro.
I
love how he's looking at me. I don't even use Twitter.
It's like, come on, you. You with the face.
More.
How's your finger?
It's still a little bit. It's still. I can still feel that it's fractured because I can't put a
it's
full pressure
mtgeekmore.
On it.
It's mtgeekmore@gmail.com. That's what it is. mtgeekmore@gmail.com. Email us or tweet us or Facebook us at mtgeekmore and let us know what topics you think we should do. And that's pretty much it. That's how lists are made.
Live long and prosper.
You okay? So Weird Al has The Saga Begins and Yoda that you could put as ending songs.
Yeah,
that it's Yoda, yo 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 Yoda.
The Saga Begins is where I get my stick it in your pointy ear.
Is it still playing?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and regulation of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hov. H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OZ. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho! Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho! Not DOC, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do. Take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. This ain't a movie, dogs.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. But just to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Thing ain't lie, how done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on, I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on, nigga, I get my by any means on. Whenever there's a drought, get your umbrellas out, because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I ain't invented the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice, ain't no sense in me lying as if I am a different man. And I could blame my environment, but ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still the vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Pony God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or